hundreds of millions of dollars being spent per hour on this. And I think, you know, we don't know how much further this is going to go. At one point, the Pentagon's going to say, hey, guess what? We're out of weapons. Like, all of these sort of anti-missile weapons that we're sending to our allies, there's a limited amount that we have. We just simply haven't been able to make them fast enough. And we don't know how many missiles Iran has. And at one point, more of these missiles are going to start to permeate these anti-missile
defense systems.
And Pete Hegseth being cute with his wordsmithing is just not going to cut it.
No, I mean, I also think that it's notable that we know that the Trump campaign was lying about being the anti-war ticket. They were just doing it by default because the Biden administration was funding a genocide that was really unpopular with people and supporting it. And the Harris campaign refuses to distance herself from it. But it was like if it was interrogated any further, we would look at the fact that his belief in being anti-war is so-called peace through strength, which is this notion of violating international law, which he did in his first term with Soleimani and with other actions, punching people in the face in the middle of negotiations with strikes, and then pretending that that is in some way creating peace, even though there are acts of war. It's Orwellian doublespeak that is easily interrogated if anyone chose to do so. But a lot of people in the press chose to present Trump as like earnestly presenting an anti-war perspective here. So they're caught with a political constituency that they still feel somewhat beholden to, because this administration doesn't care about the 60%+ of Americans on the Democratic side and the independents that despise the administration's actions. They're always playing to the base, whether it's the Nazi posting or whether, you know, it's like, yeah, just the way that J.D. Vance denies. But so they still feel some connection to this constituency where they said no new wars. They feel like they can talk around it.
But they see they can get away with like the Nazi stuff. Like, OK,
yeah.
The number of people that you meet on the street are aware of like the DHS putting out cute, like whatever it is, 1488 stuff or whatever that, you know, their cute dog whistle stuff is. But this is a war that everybody's going to be talking about.
Yes.
And they have absolutely no answers for any of this. Look at what Jonathan Carl posted. This is number 8. Jonathan Carl with ABC tweeted this out. Pete Hegseth said this is not a regime change war, but the regime sure has changed, as if he's like hosting some type of roast. Jonathan Carl said President Trump told me tonight, he posted this last night, that the U.S. had identified possible candidates to take over Iran, but they were killed in the initial attack. So in other words, they had already contemplated, I mean, most of the reporting is about them waiting to bomb Iran so that they could kill the Ayatollah. They had an idea of who was going to take their place. They were killed in the attack. Trump said the attack was so successful, it knocked out most of the candidates, Trump told me. I'm not going to be anybody. It's not going to be anybody we were thinking of because they're all dead. Second or third place is dead. Now, Trump is bragging about this, but for those of us who are not a complete babbling moron, you're attacking a country. You have a plan to take out the leadership, and then you have no idea what's going to replace it. This is a massive country with a massive military, and after day one of your bombing, your plan just like, well, now we're just flying blind.
I mean,
like, what?
Well, this is where you got to. This is a madman. And I think that we need to view the actions of this administration on this front through that lens. They were feeling immensely arrogant after Venezuela because but for their standards, it was successful. They took out Maduro. They did this big show of force, and they have been starving Cuba with this level of arrogance, but also they feel like they can steal Venezuela's oil by having Delcy Rodriguez run the country with an almost literal gun to her head. You're going to do what we say, or we could do the same thing to you. And Trump is feeling like basically his entire domestic agenda is over at this point. They destroyed Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act, cut taxes for the rich. What else are they going to do? So except ICE crackdowns, authoritarianism, and the big dick contest that he wants to engage in on the international stage. And so, like, also, I do think that Netanyahu is a master manipulator of our presidents. We saw it with Biden, who was clearly apparently just doing it for the love of the game. He's not in the Epstein files, let alone maybe what intelligence they have on Trump that could be influencing some of this stuff. But I think it's more appealing to Trump's ego here, generally. Like, the idea that last summer the Israelis bombed Iran, Iran's response was swift and did inflict damage on the Israelis. So he's going to him and saying, like, the time is now. Netanyahu's saying this to Trump, the time is now, and we need American support, or we're not going to be able to do so effectively. And so the Americans did support it. And what we did was we bombed a children's school, a girls' school, that 10 years ago was apparently a part of IRGC defensive, like,
it's station. Not far from the base.
It's not far, but I even saw that perhaps this was already, like, because Iran is so, they've keep the West out, the maps might have been outdated, and the United States and the Israelis may have thought that this school still was a military installation based on maps from 10 years ago. But we killed at least 85 girls at a school.
I think the number is over 100 at this point now.
Which, by the way, Israel's pretending that Iran did it to themselves. Where have we heard that tactic before? Hamas blowing up their own hospitals?
We had talked about Rachel Maddow had claimed that that some of this was also coming from perhaps some Gulf state leaders. I will say, I have a little bit of skepticism of that, but it's possible. But there is, like, with this level of incompetence. Now, we know that Donald Trump has viewed loyalty over everything else. And having had worked at at Air America when it was owned by a con man who I do think was probably a little touched in the head. I don't know. Now, there was multiple owners of Air America, and if I don't say which one I think those things about, then I am safe from litigation. But I did notice that when you had someone like that, they would surround themselves with incompetent people because the one thing that they wanted was just let me do what I'm doing and don't question me on anything. And so
right.
They're like, it's not inconceivable to me. Like, we thought there was going to be someone who was going to take over, and it turns out we have no idea who's going to take over. We'll continue to bomb. It does feel like I got my 700 million or my 1.5 billion or I got my $2 billion deal or whatever. I got whatever it is that I want. And you know what? I don't care what happens after that.
I really I was happy to see that I tweeted about this earlier, and Carl Baer, who we've had on the show, was saying that, like, it made the point that this is not being discussed enough, how this, like, older class of wealthy capitalists are, like, they recognize that there's a shot clock here. They recognize the idea that, like, you know, this is not going to be the getting's good right now. We're never going to have this opportunity again. That's what Lindsey Graham has been telling Trump over and over again. This has been what we've wanted for decades and decades. And finally is your opportunity to strike. So whether it's like, oh, we're going to buy Warner Brothers, we're going to create monopolistic mergers that are, you know,
take over the media, like,
right?
TikTok,
exactly.
Ours now. CBS, that's ours now. HBO, that's ours now.
Yep, exactly.
It's actually because of the shot clock running out, and that's why the same investments have been made in your Congress people and your senators, because they're investing for this.
There is a sense of we're in the getaway car, right?
Now. And there, it's a lot of, you know, boomers older class of people that have been enabled by our tax system that has given them tax cuts over and over again, created this incomprehensible amount of wealth. It's the Epstein class of people that are outside of state laws and view nation states as something to get around.
There's emails Epstein's talking about. Yeah, we should get somebody, we should get Congress to authorize a strike on Iran now and, you know, capitalize on it.
And so, and then, of course, Israel, I think, is the most obvious example of this, of an entity that has lost Western public opinion forever. It's never getting better, no matter what. Everybody that loves Israel is dying off. I mean, and the most, I think now over 50% of Americans think Israel's committing a genocide if they have an opinion on it. Certainly the Democratic base is on board with it. So when is there going to be a better opportunity prior to the midterms, also, when perhaps Democrats could take back Congress and try to limit Trump in this way? Netanyahu and
then Schumer and Jeffries would have to do something,
right? And but Netanyahu and the Israel lobby are saying, like, this period, this 9 month period, what have you, before perhaps you lose Congress, this is the best opportunity to wage this kind of war.
Absolutely. There's no doubt. This is we're getting while the getting's good.
And one more point on that is just like the idea that public opinion is increasingly irrelevant to acts of wartime by our leaders is really important here. One, because with like the promulgation of unmanned drones and killing machines that don't involve U.S. personnel, and artificial intelligence has enabled like the West to be increasingly bloody and abandon international law because there's fewer and fewer consequences for us. But the fact that they didn't even bother to manufacture consent on this, and that public opinion is so poor, and the fact that you still can't even get the Democratic opposition, even with numbers like this, with like less than 30% of Americans supporting war with Iran, you can't get them to be clear-eyed on this, shows how corrupted our Congress and our leadership is. Because if this was actually an example of direct democracy, people would be, our leaders would be pushing back on this even harder than they are.
Well, you can lament the demise of a sense of having to respond to the people because Trump doesn't even bother to sell the war, and the Democratic opposition, or at least the leadership of the so-called Democratic opposition, is secretly in favor of this war and just are complaining about the process in which we got into it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to comment as to whether you should have gone to war, but you certainly should not have worn your khaki shirt while you did it. It should have been more
all over the lot.
Forest green. But at least, we can thank goodness that this is number seven. We have a competent media, not one that's owned by, a CBS where you have the head of CBS News cheering on the war. I mean, not even cheering on people who are cheering on the war on Twitter. I mean, it's amazing what Barry Weiss has been doing. Like,
and the people she's had on.
No, she tweeted a fire emoji because there was some Iranian diaspora that CBS put on air who said, "Mr. Mamdani, you are more than welcome to come to one of my safe houses." And she responded,
yes,
with,
she's been targeted by the Iranian regime. But I will say, like, when I watched that clip, I thought it was like a Saturday Night Live sketch. I honestly thought it was. But the chief of the news at CBS should not be doing a fire emoji when
right.
just because one of her guests is attacking Mamdani. But but we still have, yes, CBS, yes, TikTok. Yes, potentially Warner Brothers and HBO and CNN could go down the tube. But at least we still have NBC. And listen to this interview they did with the Iranian foreign minister. I honestly, like, if I was a producer of this show, I'd be like, dude, are you having a stroke?
I really think that middle schoolers understand the laws of war more than seemingly corporate these anchors. Yeah.
But it's just like the amount of propaganda, like, yes, that they embody. They're not. Here's the amazing thing. I don't think these hosts are doing this on purpose. I think it's honestly just reflexive, yes, which is the amazing thing.
They can't do anything else.
Watch this.
You committing that Iran is not and will not build missiles that would have the capability to reach the United States?
I can confirm, yes.
Sir, if that's a red line for you, why is attacking U.S. military bases abroad justified?
But because they are attacking us. They are U.S. military, you know, installations, facilities, bases who are attacking us. We are under attack. Why don't you, you know, recognize this fact? We are under the attack by U.S., by U.S. forces in the region. So we have every right to defend ourselves. And how to defend ourselves? We attacked, you know, the U.S. bases. This is obvious. This is a very simple fact. And I hope that, and I'm sure that people would understand that. We are not the one who attacked Americans. We are only defending ourselves.
You committing that Iran...
Okay, I mean, this is... So they get the commitment from Iran that we're not looking to build missiles that can deliver a nuclear weapon. All I can tell you is that I remember as a kid hearing that Israel's ambassador to the U.S., Abba Ibn, I think his name was, had a British accent. And when he would come on and speak about like conflicts with the with different Arab states, he was just like so well-spoken that it was very easy for mm-hmm. like the American white audience to be like, oh, yeah, no, of course we know. I mean, if this dude had an American accent and was asked that question,
yes,
it would just be like, are you, is this a joke?
I mean, that's what Edward Said wrote about with Orientalism, which is like this view. I mean, they're either there to be noble savages or they're there to just take it.
I mean,
that's literally what they're saying.
How do you ask? Let's hear this question again. How do you ask, why are you bombing our bases in the midst of being attacked?
It's really racist. It is racist. That's what this is.
Do you want to see Dave Rubin talk?
Well, no, I want to see this again. Yeah. Yeah.
You committing that Iran is not and will not build missiles that would have the capability to reach the United States?
I can confirm, yes.
Sir, if that's a red line for you, why is attacking U.S. military bases abroad justified?
But because they are attacking us. They are U.S. military, you know, installations, facilities, bases who are attacking us. We are under attack. Why don't you, you know, recognize this fact? We are under the attack by U.S.
We don't need
US
to finish
forces.
It, I guess.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
like...
but the frustration that you must feel if you're not a, you know, English is not your first language. And he obviously speaks English very well, but you don't know how to react to something so unbelievably absurd.
Yeah.
Like he's like working his way to like, wait a second. Wait, what?
He had to restrain himself because the idea, by the way, Iranian restraint is the only reason we're not in World War III. And that goes back to Trump 1.0 with the Soleimani and their restraint and their response there. I guess, does Iran have the right to defend itself, or are they just supposed to just lay down and take it from our rapist president?
How can
president?
You justify firing missiles when we've only fired hundreds of missiles at you at this point? Don't you?
Right.
You have to wait till we hit 1,000? What's the rule? Isn't it like we got to drop 1,000 bombs on you before you can say? It's just,
We dropped a bomb on a school with a bunch of little girls. They don't have the ability
okay,
to punch.
But we intended to hit a bad guy with it.
They should be like just accepting that very premise and not retaliating against U.S. military personnel and bases here. It's amazing the level of arrogance.
Are you guys ready to get your bubble burst or no?
Wait. Let's just wait one more because we heard. The Secretary of Defense, who refers to himself as the Secretary of War, claimed that we
the
are
sow.
Not the sow, that we are not involved in a regime change. And, but we did change the regime, according to him. But of course, according to Trump, we thought that he would get killed, but we thought that the people who were going to take over, we ended up killing them too. So we're going to see who takes over. Now, of course, unlike a place like Saddam Hussein, Iran has a much sort of more entrenched structure to their government, and is while there's, I guess, the opportunity for some measure of Balkanization in Iran, there wasn't like such a clear delineation of forces that were being held together by in the way that Saddam Hussein did, where he was holding together a Sunni and a Shia, and to a lesser degree, Kurdish.
Let alone the size of the country, Iran being much larger than
Iraq.
Well,
but it's more homogenous. And it is its government is far more structured and institutionalized, I guess is the word. And so with all that, here is Mark Wayne Mullen coming out to say, we're not only contradicting the idea that this is a regime change war, but he's contradicting the idea that it's a war, but we did also have to do regime change.
Yeah, our deepest condolences to their loving family. So sad indeed. In his announcement.
Oh, pause it for a second. Was he referring to the families of the 100 children that were killed?
No, I guess just the three U.S. military personnel that were put in needless harm's way because we have a mad king as president and the Israel lobby wants war with Iran.
I mean, I guess if that's how much time you had to dedicate to the three American servicemen died and you actually had to like dedicate a proportionate similar amount of time to all the human lives who have died in this, you'd never be able to get through the broadcast. So you got to make a choice.
You say thoughts and prayers are TP for short.
You got to make a choice. What are you going to do?
Indeed. It is announced. Our deepest condolences to their loving family. So sad indeed. In his announcement about this military operation, President Trump warned Americans to prepare for possible troop deaths. If this war drags on for weeks or longer, for that matter, and U.S. casualties mount, are you confident that the American public will consider this a noble mission and tolerate growing U.S. military losses?
Well, first of all, I'm going to push back. This isn't a war. We haven't declared war on Iran. We're not at war with the Iranian people. We had to remove a murderous regime that's been attacking the United States for 47 years. Him and his murderous thugs have killed thousands and murdered thousands of Americans for literally 47 years. You heard the president's announcement. He went through all the attacks that they've had through multiple presidents. And the straw that I would say that broke the camel's back, or the final straw, is we're never going to allow the number one world sponsor of terror to be able to get a nuclear weapon. There was no doubt that they were building delivery systems to affect our interest and our assets all around that region. There was no question they were trying to develop a weapon that would reach the United States, and in that case, it wouldn't have been a matter of if, it'd be a matter of when. And so after 9/11, America had a resolve that said we will never do this again, meaning never again. We'll never be caught flat-footed. We're going to be proactive and go after those that threaten us. And President Trump finally had the backbone that other presidents haven't to finally try diplomacy. And try diplomacy by saying you're not going to get a nuclear weapon. We're not going to negotiate with you. We're not going to allow you to enrich because you can't be trusted. You're not going to have the nuclear capability. And if you do, then you're going to pay the ultimate price. So,
I mean, there's so many lies in there. It's packed in there. But I love the idea of just like Wolf Blitzer saying, what if this war drags on? Dude, this war is not dragging on. We are engaged in it. The moment we were to, if we stop and we say, we're done bombing you, how long will it take for the Iranians to stop bombing? I mean, it's just absurd. It's just absurd. And I will say, like, you know, the difference between this and Iraq is how naked this stuff seems. Because, you know, with Iraq, they took a couple of years and they built brick by brick. They manufactured this consent and create, and it, not the least which, helped by the shock that many Americans were in the wake of 9/11. But this just seems so naked. They're just out there with their asses showing, and it just seems like a joke. Wolf Blitzer looks like a joke interviewing this guy. Like, there's not even, you can't even, like, pretend, like, there's no, like, you can't even pretend that this is real. It's absurd.
Yeah, I mean, but they're appealing to a core constituency of viewers that is still the most pro-Israel or, you know, more sympathetic to arguments like this, which is basically if you're older than 65. and, like, anybody that is already dragging down public opinion about this war isn't really watching as much. But, like...
Except they've been around for 47 years.
I know.
As but- this, like... war that we've been engaged in with Iran, and they're like, wait, what?
Well, Matt Duss made this point. By this definition of war, Pearl Harbor was not considered an act of war by the Japanese.
That. The Japanese should have been like, what do you mean we're at war? We just needed to deal with a threat.
It was just a targeted
a couple
strike.
Of boats, never mind the leader of your country.
Why are you acting so messed up? We're just, you know, doing police stuff.
I mean, listen to targeted strike versus Iran attack. Notice some of these ways that in like language is used in the Western press to communicate this kind of thing. Because by any objective standard of war and war crimes, the United States has committed an egregious, egregious, offensive, illegal act of war, killing schoolgirls, and we don't even have the final numbers there, in Iran. And the expectation from our press is like, how dare they respond? How dare they have anything to say about this? It's absolutely insane, because the problem is that an act of war and wartime has an actual definition here legally in the United States. And if they concede that this is an act of war that they engaged in without consulting Congress, then there's going to be some procedural issues for them. But maybe not, because there are way too many Democrats that seem to be okay with this.
I sort of want to take calls, but I can't get in there. Oh, well, let's do this one, I guess.
Yeah, how about we open our minds up and hear some alternative opinions?
Yes. We can sit in our own little bubble and with 79% of the rest of the country.
Right.
And we can sit in our bubble and be like, this doesn't make any sense.
I'm going to start calling the U.S. Greater Brooklyn.
And we should also, exactly. And we should also note that, like, I don't think there has been any type of absorption from what this foreign minister from Oman is saying. That the Iranians were already willing to go further than they have... in any other agreement to avoid getting a nuclear weapon. I mean, it just shows what a lie all of this is. I imagine more and more people will absorb that as this goes on. It's quite possible that Donald Trump does the same thing he did with Venezuela, where... kills the leader of the of Iran, and then nothing really changes from there. I imagine things would get more repressive in Iran, but they don't really care about the people there. But let's get a different perspective, because it's easy to get so close-minded. Nobody else in our space in the YouTube world or like
Tim Pool online. And Steven Crowder both have their fill-ins.
Well, Tim Pool, I know for a fact, is against war, so I'm sure he's going to come out strong against this.
That's a harder question.
But here is Dave Rubin trying to shed some light on this.
Barack Obama, I think it was 2012, 2013, they had a massive uprising and Obama did absolutely nothing. Here, him, the progressive hero, did nothing for the women and the people who just yearn to be free from the
Can you pause
oppression.
It? we just killed maybe 100 plus girls to liberate them. All right, keep going.
So we have to liberate
in Iran, bombing a school.
Here's a quick video, or a quick image, actually. This is Trump and the team monitoring the U.S.-Israeli attack on Iran on Sunday.
Oh, he looks amazing.
Just, it's just serious stuff. This is not... This, they this are not...
Zoom out, zoom out.
Yeah, this is serious stuff.
I mean, this is really serious. That's why you can tell he's so oily, because he's really sweating this
situation.
That's
why Jack Posobiec's in the background.
Oh, God, that hat must be holding all of that skin together. If you just take it off, he just melts.
Oh, see, look at how secure! Look at how secure the Situation Room is. They've got a curtain to block it off from the rest of. Do you understand? Curtain. This is in a country club like conference dining room area
YMCA's
that they have
pumping
like
through the curtain.
They have put a curtain there so that they don't
for privacy.
You don't see like the wet bar that's right behind there for the
like if I go to the Gap and try on clothes and there's like a little lock in a stall that has more security than this makeshift Situation Room at Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, sorry, I accidentally walked into the teleconference in sales the sales teleconference.
Give me a hat because I'm having a bad hair day. This is the weirdest part.
Contour looks good, though.
This is serious stuff. You guys, okay.
Actually, this is Trump and the team monitoring the U.S.-Israeli attack on Iran on Sunday. And you can see it's just serious stuff. This is not this. They are not playing around.
No,
interestingly, a lot of people are asking where J.D. Vance was. He was not in the room at the time. Here is Trump. Also, it sounds like, can we confirm, is it confirmed that the Israeli strike killed Khamenei? Do we know that for sure? I think that's what happened here. But we'll find out more. But this is a fully coordinated strike, and Iran is now lashing out all over the entire Middle East. I think they've hit 11 Arab countries. If you want to see who the bad guys are, they're being hit by America and Israel, and they're lashing out at their supposed Arab friends, right? Their supposed Muslim friends. Here's Trump announcing...
Pause it for a second. aside from the obvious sophistication it shows about understanding of the relations in that region,
mm-hmm.
First of all...
They're supposed Muslim.
First, he said they're Arab friends.
Right. Yeah.
We should tell you that Iranians are Persians. They are not Arabs.
Learning this in middle school.
Yes. I'm sure you also learned it in middle school because of the Iraq War that there are Shia Muslims and Sunni Muslims.
Mm.
They love each other.
And they have some disagreements at various times. Also, the places that Iran has hit are U.S. bases, which might have something to do with why they hit there.
Venezuela sent a missile to Guantanamo Bay, would you be like, they're lobbing missiles at their Spanish
friends? Oh, they love Cuba, but they're willing to bomb Guantanamo.
Well, that's the weird thing is that he says Arabs, but he means Muslim people more broadly.
It's Muslim on Muslim violence.
Right, right. So who are the good guys here? Is it the Americans that bombed the Muslim people in Iran? No, but it's the Iranians who responded, and then also that makes them bad. But when we bomb Muslims, it's good.
Okay. They should have trained other fire on Israel. Then I would have no problem.
I guess the
it's
only
brown on brown violence.
Right,
we
right.
Don't like that.
Right, right. He thinks that there's not enough Muslim solidarity, and that's what makes them bad.
Let's skip a little bit ahead here. Here's him talking about the Hegseth speech. Here he is. He's got a different perspective than ours on that.
Oh really? No way.
Yeah.
But it was more that as a TV personality, he knows how to communicate. He looks the part. He says things clearly. And I just thought there was a great speech this morning, but here's just one quick highlight.
Turns out the regime who chanted death to America and death to Israel was gifted death from America and death from Israel. This is not a so-called regime change war, but the regime sure did change. And the world is better off for it.
Yeah. So let me address the regime change thing one more time. When we went into Iraq, we wanted regime change. Saddam Hussein and the people of Iraq were the same people, right? So we took Saddam out. And by the way, had Obama maybe not pulled out as early as he did, things were getting better in Iraq. But that's a little bit of a sidebar. Right now, it was largely Arab Muslim people who were being oppressed by an Arab Muslim leader in Iraq. Iran is very different because these are largely Persian people, which is a completely different culture than the radical Islamist leaders, Khomeini and the mullahs, that they were living under. So these people are ready to take their country back. We've shown you videos of what Iran looked like pre-1979, pre-Islamic revolution. Here, I'm going to show you two quick videos here of Iranians now dancing.
You've all seen this before.
Okay, great. Now they're dancing. Here we go.
It is impressive that he, I guess he was trying to argue that there was nothing for Iraq to return to, but there is from Iran. I mean, without a doubt, there is. I mean, a lot of people were very oppressed by Saddam Hussein.
I know. Yeah, Iraq had a functioning society that I could look back on too before it all went downhill.
The weird part is that Saddam Hussein was actually more of a secularist in the first place relative to his or at least some of his population. I do think that there is a significant percentage of Iranians who don't want to live under a theocracy. I don't know if it's 60% or 40% or some iteration of that. But it's not like the Iranian revolution just sort of like dropped out of the sky and there was no basis for it. We're the ones, to be fair, also the British, but the CIA and the MI6 were the ones who got rid of Iran's democracy or democratically elected prime minister in 1953 in a coup, basically because the Iranians were rude enough to have their country exist on British Petroleum's oil.
Yeah, you want more than 16%? Please.
And you're not supposed to have your national resources for your nation. That's absurd. And then we brought in an existing reinforced an existing lineage of monarchy dictator that existed, that went from like more of like a, you know, it would be almost as if we overthrew the Keir Starmer and then just had Prince Charles be the dictator. Would be the so there is definitely like some impetus for a, but he doesn't seem
he shattered
to
your brain.
He really did.
You're trying to
like I just like together. Just so much stupid around that you can't really just refute one thing. It's almost like you have to refute the right of Dave Rubin to talk.
Yes,
almost, like,
of course, the censorious left once again.
But Dan from New London, whenever I hear the Hegseth clip, I think it has to be some SNL slam poetry parody skit. Todd from Raleigh, he's saying the Iranian people are Persians, so they are good, and the Iranian regime is bad, so they're Arab. It's incoherent. I mean, honestly, it really is. California resistance, Sam, the diaspora in other countries is not indicative of what is happening in Iran. I would imagine.
Definitely. Doesn't mean that there isn't, that the Iranian regime isn't immensely repressive, that there isn't a popular movement to replace them. It's just that the idea that that is what the Americans and the Israelis are interested in for the good of the Iranian people is hilarious. It's hilarious. And also in Iran, there is a cultural and historical memory of that, what you're talking about there, that makes it even more difficult, I think, to impose a puppet government on a population because they've been through it before with the brutality of the Shah.
Yeah, and I think, look, a diaspora is always, I mean, it's largely, not totally, self-selecting. And it's almost definitional that they have a problem with any regime, which is, again, not a way of saying that it's good. I mean, we, you know, a lot of people have left the United States. A lot of Americans have left the United States because of Donald Trump.
But it's much more actively cultural. Like the Iranian and Cuban diaspora in the United States, like this was also like a national security project to bring in people that were sympathetic to capitalism.
No, yeah, of course. Yeah. And we're kicked out because of their sympathies or escape.
Yeah, I said Cuba, right?
Yeah. Yep. What else we got here?
Mm-hmm.
Protecto Frogs, are we not 5 minutes away from kidnapping Starmer and replacing all government with Trump? Tumbo Flink, happy Monday, folks. Hello, my name is Sir Keir Starmer. Last week, my party was humiliated in a by-election in what has been one of our safest seats, so I've decided to put British soldiers in harm's way. I know that 2 days ago I said I wouldn't put British soldiers in harm's way, but the fascist pedophile in another country that I'm cravenly loyal to said mean things about me. The good news is this should distract from me appointing a known Epstein associate to Britain's most important diplomatic post despite him not being vetted prior to his appointment. I often talk about how my dad was a toolmaker. Oh, he was a toolmaker, all right. Colorado Corvus. Denver DSA just endorsed Milot Kiros. You should all reach out.
Hell, we have had her on, and I feel like I'm, of all of these like candidates, I feel like I don't know, I'm so impressed by her. So I want to throw out Milot Kiros' name every time I can. But
She's already been on.
Not sure when the Colorado primary is. Do we know? I mean, not off the top of your head. It's fine.
How crazy would that be?
That would be crazy. That would be insane. But it looks like, where is that? When is that primary now? It's just going to bug me. All right. Well, either way, Milot Kiros, if you are in Denver, in the Denver area, look it up. Look it up.
Is this number 17? Is that what you put up there?
Yeah.
I don't even know how to.
How do you intro this? Honestly,
hold on. Will you also? We'll play this in a second.
Okay.
Will you also look for? Apparently, there's a huge rash on Trump's neck that's going around.
I have seen that. I can find that.
Okay.
I said at the beginning of the show, after the report that Trump has not been seen really since this weekend, right? I mean, Saturday night late. They ran a video that he prepared because he couldn't stay up that late to announce that we were engaged in a non-war war regime change thing. There is a Donald Trump is out there with a huge, disturbing rash on his neck. I mean, it happens.
Ugh. God, that, I mean, could have been so repulsive, and now we add the rotting, the reports of how he's shitting himself all the time, allegedly, and smells horrible. God, he really is like a festering sore on this planet.
But this is, I mean, I've heard him go off and get loony before, but this is something else.
I have a policeman. I tell the story. Same guy. I meet him. But it's this wonderful, tough policeman from New York. He's taking good care of us. And he said, sir, it's so good. My married life has gotten so much better. Why? My wife thought I was a loser financially. I couldn't make any money because my 401k was dying for years. And now she thinks I'm the smartest financial genius ever. It's made my sex life good. It's made my life good. It's given me a tremendous boost in life, sir. This is a big, tough cop. He said, my wife treated me like a dog, and now she admires my financial genius. And I haven't done anything. My 401k has gone through the roof. So I said, thank you very much.
So he's a new NYPD cop that I'm just trying.
Listen, I paid for my wife, so
I relate.
It was all transactional.
He starts with, I have a policeman.
I have a policeman.
I just want to. Yeah. So I'm in deciphering the weave. I would assume this is a former NYPD person that has joined his security detail. Yeah. I don't know a ton about the NYPD pension system, but they have pensions, not 401ks for the most part, right?
Well,
he could have one on his own.
Well, you know, he could have.
I don't know why. I mean, I'm just.
You don't think this story's true?
I'm just having a hard time.
You don't think his security details telling him about how he's banging his wife
that
a lot?
His former NYPD security guy, who also has a pension and a 401k, went up to the president that he works for and said, you know, my 401k is doing really great, and it's made me rock hard. I feel like I'm having a hard time believing this story.
To which Trump replied, thank you very much.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Because he's a rapist,
don't you understand? I don't have the energy for Prima Nocte anymore.
Right.
But as long as I can get it mentally, that's when I'll take it.
And also just like rapists aren't really concerned with, you know, in fact, they're violent towards women and aren't concerned, obviously, with their pleasure. But it is just somebody who was born with such a silver spoon in his mouth, such a rich idiot who's only ever gotten laid because of his money. He totally gets that, like, the idea that the former NYPD guy could be, his wife would be happier because she saw the 401k went up sexually.
How could anybody screw this cop? He's such a loser. Right. He doesn't even have $1 billion.
Or the idea that, like, their sex life could be better based on anything other than the man getting wealthier is just completely foreign to him.
Exactly.
Right? They're indelibly connected, and that's the case for everybody.
I don't even... Connected? They're the same
They're
thing.
The same thing.
Saturn Girl. Hi, Sam. Can you encourage your staff to use less foul language during the show? Young ears are listening. I try and model it, but the kids today.
This is a recurring I am.
The kids today.
I'm sorry. Did I say a bad word? I did say rock hard just a second ago.
I just went banging. I tried very hard not to.
Catlack. Guys, did something happening with Uline New? I've been wondering if you were going to have her on. No, she's great. And I can't encourage people enough in New York City to go. She's running for state senate?
It's a statewide race.
It's
assembly?
Not a statewide race. It's,
assembly. Wait, no, it is a statewide race.
No, it's not.
Or,
it's
a state race.
Yeah. It's a district.
District, yes.
And so it's...
No, it's tough. I already feel like we're too New York focused. Yeah.
But it's not just a question of being New York. There's a lot of news.
Yes.
We're trying to have, like, Congress people on in primaries, but I can't encourage people enough to go and support her. Let's put her Act Blue account in the link it in the podcast and YouTube description.
We're trying to go in order of primaries as best as we can.
Yeah, there's a lot of news.
Yeah, I'm not sure people are aware.
And we need time also to have, like, you know, to do, you know, play stuff on the.
Mm-hmm.
No, but there's a lot of news. But she's great. She's really great. She really actually should be where she should be in Dan Goldman's seat, frankly.
Yep.
But don't get me started on the Mondaire Jones thing. What else?
I mean, 10 is kind of nuts. Or no, 11. Anna Paulina Luna. I mean, this link is okay, no problem. I saw it on Twitter, same clip. I'll find it for you.
All right. Well, should we do this? I mean, this is sort of crazy. I mean, if you imagine for a moment, first off, like, I'm old enough where I remember Michelle Obama suggesting people eat, that we have provide healthier food for kids in schools.
Fascist.
And the right went nuts. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like a, not just a month long story, like literally years long story about how Michelle Obama was forcing our kids to eat broccoli.
For people that are maybe weren't paying attention to politics at that time, if you were paying attention a few years ago, or maybe a year or two, remember the gas stove wars? That was very much like the same construction of the argument about like they're trying, and actually had less substance because it was like Michelle Obama wanting healthy school lunches, and the gas stove thing was actually like a problem that needed to be addressed regulatorily.
Gas stoves, yeah, I mean, gas stoves weren't actually happening. She was doing this. She was encouraging healthier food. We had stuff about light bulbs. We had stuff about, but right. This was, you know, you can say like it's inconvenient to have, you know, we should keep incandescent lights. Like LEDs are, the light's bad and this and that. And of course, you know, the companies that made light bulbs, it took them a year or two to transition. And now we have light bulbs that are just give us the same soft white light or yellow light, if you like. But now they also have the ability to like flick with a smart button, and they save a tremendous amount of money. And I mean, on and on. The idea, if anyone, and I guarantee you, we could just run this test. If the Health and Human Services director made a suggestion that Americans stop eating meat, there would be, I mean.
Well, this isn't saying stop eating meat. This is saying
a different cut. Yes. If somebody like said, like, stop eating steak.
Right.
And just eat liver. There would be like, I can't even begin to tell you what would happen, but here is Robert Kennedy Jr. saying that very thing.
And this is true all over the country. There's a lot of good food in grocery stores that goes away. Most of the cheap cuts of meat are very inexpensive. If you buy a porterhouse steak or a strip of steak, it is gonna set you back. You can buy liver or the cheaper cuts of steak that are very, very affordable.
There you go. Nothing like
yes,
a rich
you
guy.
Can. Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, thanks for telling us.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize.
The affordability crisis.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, next sentence is what's he going to say? You can save some money if you just go scrounge around for roadkill like I do and eat it like that.
Yeah, what livers is he talking about?
Yeah, right.
Raccoon liver is very cheap. Extremely cheap.
Pretty much free. All you need is a knife.
Yeah.
They keep sending out like Kennedy and Dr. Oz to basically tell poor people like you can downsize even more. You don't even realize it.
Yeah. There's protein in fingernails.
A lot of people say you shouldn't eat your boogers. But it's also like a really good source of protein.
We are two steps away from that.
Yes.
I mean, make America healthy again by making the right choices that this out-of-touch rich psycho tells you to do.
Go. Nothing like a Kennedy telling right. you to get cheap meat.
Nothing like the federal government lecturing you about which kind of meat you should get at the grocery store. I hope the kids like liver.
Yeah.
Luke from New Mexico. I'm back in the race. New Mexico House District 60. Great. I hope you're organizing on the Discord. Ad hominem. Only Israel has a right to defend itself, obviously.
Duh.
Wayward leftists. Slow news today. News day today.
It's kind of just like one big story, but yeah.
Definitely not Cameron. If these dynamics don't become apparent to the administration by Thursday for the War Powers Resolution, then I have a hard time seeing whatever off-ramp the admin is going to have to take. It's the only thing I can think of that would be remotely preferable as an off-ramp. Let's do this. Yeah, this is... Representative Anna Paulina Luna.
Tick.
was on... what program
Sorry.
Is this?
Whoa. Came out really weird. It came out really weird. It's on MS Now with Eamon Moladine and the Weeknd's crew. I guess they were able to book her. I'm surprised she said yes.
I was
going to
say, I mean, kudos for her.
Yeah.
Republican going on. She is, what was the crazy, what was the ad that she had that was really crazy? I can't remember. She's just very aggressive mm-hmm. in her MAGA-ness. But let's, this is on MSN now last night, I think.
I didn't say they killed thousands of Americans in America. I said that they have been responsible for thousands of Americans being killed. And
wait,
I think that
where?
That's easily okay, something
pause it.
That
now,
you can
now, this
verify.
Is a line that we've heard Mark Wayne Mullen say. We heard Hegseth say this. They're trying to figure out the justification for the war, and they don't have any talking points because already the CIA is coming out and saying, like, well, they didn't really have any plan to attack us. We're finding out that they had already agreed to stop stockpiling any type of enriched uranium. So now it has to be after 47 years of killing so many Americans, which people are like, wait, what? We're going to, like, in 1982, Iranian proxies bombed
the Marine barracks
in Lebanon. And so we're choosing now to attack Iran. Like, there's been no inciting event. And so there's nothing for them to talk about, and they can't even answer the simplest of questions.
Okay.
I didn't say they killed thousands of Americans in America. I said that they have been responsible for thousands of Americans being killed. And I think that
where?
That's easily
where?
Something that you can verify. I don't know. State-sponsored terrorism, for starters. Why don't you? Are you serious right now about that whole thing? I'm not going to list out exact
specific locations. No, I mean, just give me. Just give me. Are you talking about? Are you talking about the Iraq war?
Well, you can start
up
by the three that they. You can start up by the three that they just killed. Okay, the
in
whole
response,
point of your network is you want
to
actually
war,
talk about the facts,
no,
so I'm giving
no,
you the facts. But I'm not going to sit
like
here
you,
and argue with
you
about
like
you
actually
something
don't
that's
have a good understanding of the
known.
Facts, Congresswoman. You don't have a good understanding of the
well,
conflict.
Well, I'm the one
you
that's getting the briefings, not
the
you. You're
because...
a pundit offering your opinion because you want
no,
clickbait,
not
but
at
aren't
all.
Actually
I've
interested
actually...
in the substance.
No, no, not at all.
We can talk about the fact that Obama sent millions upon millions of dollars to the Iranian regime, or do you not want to address that because it's not supported by your opinion and your network?
Pause it for a second. We didn't send millions of billions of dollars to the Iranian regime. We unfroze their assets. It
yes.
was their money, and we had stolen it and essentially were holding it hostage, and we released it. Now, you could argue, like, why didn't we steal all of their money at all time? And I suppose we could live in a world where people are allowed to steal other people's money when they have an argument with them.
Or you could just call it the art of the deal, sweetie, because the reality is that the Iranians needed something in exchange for their agreement to denuclearize and have a third party monitor come in and make sure that they were not building a nuclear weapon. And what they got was, we won't hold on to the money we've stolen from you anymore. But apparently this is a major concession.
Or do you not want to address that because it's not supported by your opinion and your network?
No, not
I mean,
at all.
Is this really
to...
even something that we're going to actually get
well, it
to
seems like you just
here,
want
to, are you going to continue
it like
to
you just want to filibuster. No, it seems like you just want to filibuster. It seems like you don't really want to have a good faith conversation.
Or you just don't
you
like what I'm saying.
We would have invited
this
you on the air.
This happens every time I'm on with you.
Yeah, you keep coming on every time, and you keep stating a lot of things that are incorrect.
Because
the United States
can,
launched
can
an attack
talk to other
on Iran.
About it, except for you.
The United States launched a war against Iran right now. Iran retaliated, in which American members.
Strikes.
You can call whatever you want to call it, but at the end of the day, the Iranians responded and killed three American service members. So what we're trying to get at is you make an assertion on this air that it's not an invasion when America sends fighter jets and Israel sent fighter jets into another country.
Boots on the ground are not going to happen. Congress will not vote on war with Iran because that is not something that we support, and that is not something that the administration
supports. That's actually
supports.
What the Constitution,
but if you
the
want
Constitution
to talk
says that
what,
in Article 1, but I guess
talk,
you think Article 2 is more
well,
important.
Article
so it's up
2
to you.
Is when the U.S. citizens citizens and our military are in direct imminent threat, the president reserves the authority.
Yeah, well, he hasn't made that case to the American public or Congress,
exactly,
and that's the problem, and that's why he's supposed to go to Congress.
Well, he's not going to give you classified intelligence
information. He's not supposed to give it to me. He's supposed to give it to members of Congress. He's supposed to go give it to members of Congress. That's exactly why members of
Congress.
You're only one. There are 435 members and 100 senators, and others have not gotten it. You're not the only one who gets to speak on behalf of the American people.
Prior to the strike.
Anyway, unfortunately, we're out of time.
There was actually a briefing.
Really appreciate you coming
on. There you go. You don't want to hear the facts. They got a briefing.
It's not a fact. I'm telling you what other members of Congress have said, and that's the whole point of them being able to have a debate in Congress.
Congress was notified.
That's not what members of Congress say, but really appreciate you coming on here and saying something different. Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna. Really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
This is so the argument is there's a secret attack on America that has been taking place, and it's secret. It's so secret that the president can't say anything about it.
Thousands of people have died, but we've kept it.
But, you know, I mean, honestly, all of those kids that got so radicalized on TikTok for Palestinian rights, they might as well be dead anyway. I mean, they're dead in terms of like the eyes of usefulness for Zionism.
Iran has been developing cholesterol, bad cholesterol, that has been killing Americans with heart disease.
New COVID theory.
Exactly. Oh,
ooh. Iran.
They're not doing a very good job of selling this war. It really, honestly, and like you can tell who they're sending out too, right? Like who they're sending out is the sort of the looniest of the loonies.
The Expendables.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I do, I think it's
send Ana Paulina Luna to do it. She'll do it.
Tick. Got that. But I mean, I think it's indicative of the reason that they're trying to say it's not a war and she says it's not an invasion is because that's the thing that they're the only thing that they're sensitive to is public opinion. They think that they can get away with this action like they did in Venezuela if American troops are not involved and it's not a boots on the ground situation. That when they said anti-war, this is what we talked about all the time with why these like Christian nationalists like Tucker Carlson are not allies in the fight against to liberate Palestine and against Zionism is because like they don't actually have a principle against bombing people in foreign countries. They'll just say that they'll just say essentially that they're against war, but they'll use like bombing and weaponry to kill a bunch of Iranians and kill the Ayatollah as long as it doesn't affect them. They think it doesn't affect them politically. Sorry, I got distracted. I didn't get to read this yet, but apparently, no, I just wanted to flag it. Apparently, there is a new New York Times extensive piece with like six different authors that it talks about how Benjamin Netanyahu was very successful in lobbying Trump just
very
a few
worried
weeks
that
ago.
Diplomacy was going to work.
Yep. And so, and how much he's behind this decision.
5 IMs and we're out of here. Jackie C. Melania Trump speaks to the UN Security Council on Education of Children, U.S. President of Security Council this month. Irony that husband bombs an Iranian school. New Jersey mailman, I just want to point out that we had reports of jets being shot down and our drone defenses are actually really bad in terms of interception. We're using expensive Patriot anti-air systems. This failure highlights how the U.S. has learned nothing from drone warfare in Ukraine, how inept this planning is. If this continues to escalate, more troops will be put in the tight situations as Trump and Netanyahu hang out in Florida. Terry. Will you guys have on candidates Schlossberg or Conway on having a hard time deciding in this district?
definitely not either of those.
I mean, here's the thing. We're trying to promote candidates who are going to who are more progressive than who are more in the sort of Justice Dems DSA orbit so that not only, you know, will they win in their district, but they will move the Congress to the left with the limited resources we have in terms of time and whatnot. That's basically what we're trying to do.
I'm that is not either. Maybe that's a joke because both of those candidates are so awful. It's got to be because there's a bunch. There's other candidates in that district that are much better, including, I believe, Michael Lasher.
Tomrick, thanks so much for having Alexis on and asking about blocking bombs, knowing where she stands on these issues now. I'll be signing up to organize. Honestly, I remember the work that she did at that time. We would often be on like Hayes' show together, during that era. I interviewed her a couple of times back in the day. Just so impressive, so smart, and not just right on the rhetoric, but like knew how to get from A to B.
Mm-hmm.
Really impressive. Be a huge upgrade. Kyle, maybe he meant we didn't start the war. Israel did. Fair. Talking bingo dango. Man, Cuban and Iranian expats are some of the most bloodthirsty psychopaths I've ever seen. Cognitive medbed. Dave has called Pakistani Arabs in the past, too. Why do you think he says we're the hottest country? And the final I am of the day. Congressional baseball fan. I'm only an economist, but aren't 401ks historically known as managed investments because someone else does the decision making with your invested money so that you don't have to be a financial expert and manage your stock portfolio daily? How can there be a tape of Emma at a concert as a teenager, but we haven't anyone find at least one grainy VHS tape of Sam performing stand-up at the Kowloon in like 89 or 90? Release the Saugus tapes. Yeah, Funny enough, I went to the Kowloon about that time frame too, but I was like 7. So the only thing I remember was nearly destroying an entire poo-poo platter on my own. Wow. Matt in absentia, Brian, Emma, great job today, folks. See you tomorrow.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the lie fall. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in. And my pilot light's shining bright. I get somewhere the choice is made. Option where you don't get paid for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess somehow I lost my drive between the 101 and the 5. Do you know how far the detour takes you? Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick.
We're going to allow the number one world sponsor of terror to be able to get a nuclear weapon. There was no doubt that they were building delivery systems to affect our interest and our assets all around that region. There was no question they were trying to develop a weapon that would reach the United States, and at that case, it wouldn't be a matter of if, it'd be a matter of when. And so after 9/11, America had a resolve that said we will never do this again, meaning never again. We'll never be caught flat-footed. We're going to be proactive and go after those that threaten us. And President Trump finally had the backbone that other presidents haven't to finally try diplomacy, and try diplomacy by saying you're not going to get a nuclear weapon. We're not going to negotiate with you. We're not going to allow you to enrich because you can't be trusted. You're not going to have the nuclear capability. And if you do, then you're going to pay the ultimate price. So
I mean, there's so many lies in there. It's packed in there. But I love the idea of just like Wolf Blitzer saying, what if this war drags on? Dude, this war is not dragging on. We are engaged in it. The moment we were to, if we stop and we say, we're done bombing you, How long will it take for the Iranians to stop bombing? I mean, it's just absurd. It's just absurd. And I will say, like, you know, the difference between this and Iraq is how naked this stuff seems. Because, you know, with Iraq, they took a couple of years and they built brick by brick. They manufactured this consent and create, and it, not the least which, helped by the shock that many Americans were in the wake of 9/11. But this just seems so naked. They're just out there with their asses showing, and it just seems like a joke. Wolf Blitzer looks like a joke interviewing this guy. Like, there's not even, you can't even, like, pretend, like, there's no, like, you can't even pretend that this is real. It's absurd.
Yeah, I mean, but they're appealing to a core constituency of viewers that is still the most pro-Israel or, you know, more sympathetic to arguments like this, which is basically if you're older than 65. and, like, anybody that is already dragging down public opinion about this war isn't really watching as much. But, like...
Except they've been around for 47 years.
I know.
As this, like... war that we've been engaged in with Iran, and they're like, wait, what?
Well, Matt Duss made this point. By this definition of war, Pearl Harbor was not considered an act of war by the Japanese.
That. The Japanese should have been like, what do you mean we're at war? We just needed to deal with a threat.
It was just a targeted strike.
Of boats, never mind the leader of your country.
Why are you acting so messed up? We're just, you know, doing police stuff.
I mean, listen to targeted strike versus Iran attack. Notice some of these ways that in like language is used in the Western press to communicate this kind of thing. Because by any objective standard of war and war crimes, the United States has committed an egregious, offensive, illegal act of war, killing schoolgirls, and we don't even have the final numbers there, in Iran. And the expectation from our press is like, how dare they respond? How dare they have anything to say about this? It's absolutely insane, because the problem is that an act of war and wartime has an actual definition here legally in the United States. And if they concede that this is an act of war that they engaged in without consulting Congress, then there's going to be some procedural issues for them. But maybe not, because there are way too many Democrats that seem to be okay with this.
I sort of want to take calls, but I can't get in there. Oh, well, let's do this one, I guess.
Yeah. How about we open our minds up and hear some alternative opinions?
Yes, we can sit in our own little bubble and, with, 79% of the rest of the country.
Right.
And we could sit in our bubble and be like, this doesn't make any sense.
I'm going to start calling the U.S. Greater Brooklyn.
And we should also, exactly. And we should also note that, like, I don't think there has been any type of absorption from what this foreign minister from Oman is saying, that the Iranians were already willing to go further than they have in any other agreement to avoid getting a nuclear weapon. I mean, it just shows what a lie all of this is. I imagine more and more people will absorb that as this goes on. It's quite possible that Donald Trump does the same thing he did with Venezuela, where... kills the leader of the of Iran, and then nothing really changes from there. I imagine things would get more repressive in Iran, but they don't really care about the people there. But let's get a different perspective, because it's easy to get so close-minded. Nobody else in our space in the YouTube world or
Tim Pool online. And Steven Crowder both have their fill-ins.
Well, Tim Pool, I know for a fact, is against war, so I'm sure he's going to come out strong against this.
That's a harder question.
But here is Dave Rubin trying to shed some light on this.
Barack Obama. I think it was 2012, 2013. They had a massive uprising, and Obama did absolutely nothing. Here, the you know him, the progressive hero, did nothing for the women and the people who just yearned to be free from the Iranian oppression.
We just killed maybe 100 plus girls to liberate them. All right, keep going.
That's how we have to liberate
in Iran, bombing a school.
Here's a quick video or a quick image. Actually, this is Trump and the team monitoring the U.S.-Israeli attack on Iran on Sunday.
Oh, he looks amazing.
Just, it's just serious stuff. This is not this. They are not.
Zoom out.
Yeah, this is serious stuff.
I mean, this is really serious. That's why you can tell he's so oily because he's really sweating this
situation.
That's
why Jack Posobiec's in the background.
Oh, God, that hat must be holding all of that skin together. If you just take it off, he just melts.
Oh, see, look at how secure! Look at how secure the Situation Room is. They've got a curtain to block it off from the rest of. Do you understand? This is in a country club like conference dining room area
YMCA's
that they have
pumping
like
through the curtain.
They have put a curtain there so that they don't
for privacy.
You don't see like the wet bar that's right behind there for the
like if I go to the Gap and try on clothes and there's like a little lock in a stall that has more security than this makeshift Situation Room at Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, sorry, I accidentally walked into the teleconference in sales the sales teleconference.
Give me a hat because I'm having a bad hair day. This is the weirdest part.
Contour looks good, though.
This is serious stuff. Okay.
Actually, this is Trump and the team monitoring the U.S.-Israeli attack on Iran on Sunday. And you can see it's just serious stuff. This is not this. They are not playing around. Interestingly, a lot of people are asking where J.D. Vance was. He was not in the room at the time. Here is Trump. Also, it sounds like is it confirmed that the Israeli strike killed Khamenei? Do we know that for sure? I think that's what happened here. But we'll find out more. But this is a fully coordinated strike and Iran is now lashing out all over the entire Middle East. I think they've hit 11 Arab countries. If you want to see who the bad guys are, they're being hit by America and Israel, and they're lashing out at their supposed Arab friends, right? Their supposed Muslim friends. Here's Trump announcing...
Pause it for a second. aside from the obvious sophistication it shows about understanding of the relations in that region, mm-hmm. First of all... First, he said they're Arab friends.
Right. Yeah.
We should tell you that Iranians are Persians. They are not Arabs.
We're learning this in middle school.
Yes. I'm sure you also learned it in middle school because of the Iraq War that there are Shia Muslims and Sunni Muslims.
Mm.
They love each other.
And they have some disagreements at various times. Also, the places that Iran has hit are U.S. bases, which might have something to do with why they hit there.
If Venezuela sent a missile to Guantanamo Bay, would you be like, they're lobbing missiles at their Spanish
friends? Oh, they love Cuba, but they're willing to bomb Guantanamo.
Well, that's the weird thing is that he says Arabs, but he means Muslim people more broadly.
It's Muslim on Muslim violence.
Right, right. So who are the good guys here? Is it the Americans that bombed the Muslim people in Iran? No, but it's the Iranians who responded, and then also that makes them bad. But when we bomb Muslims, it's good.
Okay. They should have trained other fire on Israel, then I would have no problem.
I guess the
it's
only
brown on brown violence,
right?
We
right,
don't like that.
Right, right. He just wants. He thinks that there's not enough Muslim solidarity, and that's what makes them bad.
Let's skip a little bit ahead here. Here's him talking about the Hegseth speech. Here he is. He's got a different perspective than ours on that.
Oh really? No way!
Yeah.
But it was more that as a TV personality, he knows how to communicate. He looks the part. He says things clearly. And I just thought there was a great speech this morning, but here's just one quick highlight.
Turns out the regime who chanted death to America and death to Israel was gifted death from America and death from Israel. This is not a so-called regime change war, but the regime sure did change. And the world is better off for it.
Yeah. So let me address the regime change thing one more time. When we went into Iraq, we wanted regime change. Saddam Hussein and the people of Iraq were the same people, right? So we took Saddam out. And by the way, had Obama maybe not pulled out as early as he did, things were getting better in Iraq. But that's a little bit of a sidebar. What? Right now, it was largely Arab Muslim people who were being oppressed by an Arab Muslim leader in Iraq. Iran is very different because these are largely Persian people, which is a completely different culture than the radical Islamist leaders, Khomeini and the mullahs, that they were living under. So these people are ready to take their country back. We've shown you videos of what Iran looked like pre-1979, pre-the Islamic Revolution. Here, I'm going to show you two quick videos here of Iranians now dancing.
You've all seen this before.
Okay, great. Now they're dancing. Here we go.
But it is impressive that he, I guess he was trying to argue that there was nothing for Iraq to return to, but there is from Iran. I mean, without a doubt, there is. I mean, a lot of people were very oppressed by Saddam Hussein.
I know. Yeah, Iraq had a functioning society that I could look back on too before it all went downhill.
The weird part is that Saddam Hussein was actually more of a secularist in the first place relative to his or at least some of his population. I do think that there is a significant percentage of Iranians who don't want to live under a theocracy. I don't know if it's 60% or 40% or some iteration of that. But it's not like the Iranian revolution just sort of like dropped out of the sky and there was no basis for it. We're the ones, to be fair, also the British, but the CIA and the MI6 were the ones who got rid of Iran's democracy or democratically elected prime minister in 1953 in a coup, basically because the Iranians were rude enough to have their country exist on British Petroleum's oil.
Yeah, you want more than 16%? Please.
And you're not supposed to have your national resources for your nation. That's absurd. And then we brought in an existing reinforced an existing lineage of monarchy dictator that existed, that went from like more of like a, you know, it would be almost as if we overthrew Keir Starmer and then just had Prince Charles be the dictator. Would be the so there is definitely like some impetus for a, but he doesn't seem
he
to
shattered
have,
your brain.
He really did.
You're trying to
like I just like
together.
Just so much stupid around that you can't really just refute one thing. It's almost like you have to refute the right of Dave Rubin to talk.
Yes,
almost, like,
of course, the censorious left once again.
But Dan from New London, whenever I hear the Hegseth clip, I think it has to be some SNL slam poetry parody skit. Todd from Raleigh, he's saying the Iranian people are Persian, so they are good, and the Iranian regime is bad, so they're Arab. It's incoherent. I mean, honestly, it really is. California resistance, Sam, the diaspora in other countries is not indicative of what is happening in Iran. I would imagine.
Definitely. Doesn't mean that there isn't, that the Iranian regime isn't immensely repressive, that there isn't a popular movement to replace them. It's just that the idea that that is what the Americans and the Israelis are interested in for the good of the Iranian people is hilarious. It's hilarious. And also in Iran, there is a cultural and historical memory of that, what you're talking about there, that makes it even more difficult, I think, to impose a puppet government on a population because they've been through it before with the brutality of the Shah.
Yeah, and I think, look, a diaspora is always, I mean, it's largely, not totally, self-selecting. And it's almost definitional that they have a problem with any regime, which is, again, not a way of saying that it's good. I mean, we, you know, a lot of people have left the United States. A lot of Americans have left the United States because of Donald Trump.
But it's much more actively like the Iranian and Cuban diaspora in the United States. Like this was also like a national security project to bring in people that were sympathetic to capitalism.
No, yeah, of course. Yeah. And we're kicked out because of their sympathies or escape.
Yeah, I said Cuba, right?
Yeah. Yep. What else we got here? Frogs. Are we not 5 minutes away from kidnapping Starmer and replacing all government with Trump? Tumbo Flink, happy Monday, folks. Hello, my name is Sir Keir Starmer. Last week, my party was humiliated in a by-election in what has been one of our safest seats, so I've decided to put British soldiers in harm's way. I know that 2 days ago I said I wouldn't put British soldiers in harm's way, but the fascist pedophile in another country that I'm cravenly loyal to said mean things about me. The good news is this should distract from me appointing a known Epstein associate to Britain's most important diplomatic post to site, despite him not being vetted prior to his appointment. I often talk about how my dad was a toolmaker. Oh, he was a toolmaker, all right. Colorado Corvus. Denver DSA just endorsed Milot Kiros. You should all reach out.
Hell, we have had her on, and I feel like I'm, of all of these like candidates, I feel like I don't know, I'm so impressed by her, so I want to throw out Mila Kiros's name every time I can. But
she's already been on.
Not sure when the Colorado primary is. Do we know? I mean, not off the top of your head. It's fine.
How crazy would that be?
That would be crazy. That would be insane. But it looks like, where is that? When is that primary now? It's just going to bug me. All right. Well, either way, Mila Kiros, if you are in Denver, in the Denver area, look it up. Look it up.
Is this number 17? Is that what you put up there?
Yeah.
I don't even know how to.
How do you intro this? Honestly,
hold on. Will you also? We'll play this in a second.
Okay.
Will you also look for? Apparently, there's a huge rash on Trump's neck that's going around.
I have seen that. I can find that.
Okay.
I said at the beginning of the show, after the report that Trump has not been seen really since this weekend, right? Saturday night late. They ran a video that he prepared because he couldn't stay up that late to announce that we were engaged in a non-war war regime change thing. There is a Donald Trump is out there with a huge, disturbing rash on his neck. I mean, it happens.
Ugh. God, it could have been so repulsive. And now we add the rotting, the reports of how he's shitting himself all the time, allegedly, and smells horrible. God, he really is like a festering sore on this planet.
But this is, I mean, I've heard him go off and get loony before, but this is something else.
I have a policeman. I tell the story. Same guy. I meet him. But it's this wonderful, tough policeman from New York. He's taking good care of us. And he said, sir, it's so good. My married life has gotten so much better. Why? My wife thought I was a loser financially. I couldn't make any money because my 401k was dying for years. And now she thinks I'm the smartest financial genius ever. It's made my sex life good. It's made my life good. It's given me a tremendous boost in life, sir. This is a big, tough cop. He said, my wife treated me like a dog, and now she admires my financial genius. And I haven't done anything. My 401k has gone through the roof. So I said, thank you very much.
So he's a new NYPD cop that I'm just trying.
I paid for my wife. So
I relate.
It was all transactional.
He starts with, I have a policeman.
I have a policeman.
I just want to. Yeah. So I'm in deciphering the weave. I would assume this is a former NYPD person that has joined his security detail. Yeah. I don't know a ton about the NYPD pension system, but they have pensions, not 401ks for the most part, right?
Well,
he could have one on his own.
You
don't think this story's true?
I'm just having a hard time.
You don't think his security details tell him about how he's banging his wife
that
a lot?
His former NYPD security guy, who also has a pension and a 401k, went up to the president that he works for and said, you know, my 401k is doing really great, and it's made me rock hard. I feel like I'm having a hard time believing this story.
To which Trump replied, thank you very much.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Because he's a rapist,
you understand? I don't have the energy for Prima Nocte anymore. But as long as I can get it mentally, that's what I'll take it.
And also just like rapists aren't really concerned with, you know, in fact, they're violent towards women and aren't concerned, obviously, with their pleasure. But it is just somebody who was born with such a silver spoon in his mouth, such a rich idiot who's only ever gotten laid because of his money, he totally gets that, like, the idea that the former NYPD guy could be, his wife would be happier because she saw the 401k went up sexually.
How could anybody screw this cop? He's such a loser. He doesn't even have $1 billion.
Or the idea that, like, their sex life could be better based on anything other than the man getting wealthier is just completely foreign to him.
Exactly.
Right? They're indelibly connected, and that's the case for everybody.
I don't even... connected? They're the same
they're
thing.
They're the same thing.
Saturn Girl. Hi, Sam. Can you encourage your staff to use less foul language during the show? Young ears are listening. I try and model it, but the kids today.
This is a recurring I am.
The kids today.
I'm sorry. Did I say a bad word? I did say rock hard just a second ago.
I just went banging. I tried very hard not to.
Catlack. Guys, did something happening with Uline New? I've been wondering if you were going to have her on. No, she's great. And I can't encourage people enough in New York City to go. She's running for state senate?
It's a statewide race.
It's not a statewide race.
Assembly.
Wait,
it is a statewide race.
No, it's not.
It's a state race.
State race. Yeah. It's a district.
District. Yes.
And so it's.
No, it's tough. I already feel like we're too New York focused.
Yeah. But it's not just a question of being New York. There's a lot of news.
Yes.
We're trying to have like Congress people on in primaries, but I can't encourage people enough to go and support her. Let's put her Act Blue account in the link it in the podcast and YouTube description.
We're trying to go in order of primaries as best as we can.
Yeah, there's a lot of news.
Yeah, I'm not sure people are aware.
And we need time also to have like play stuff on the.
Mm-hmm.
No, but there's a lot of news. But she's great. She's really great. She really actually should be where she should be in Dan Goldman's seat, frankly.
Yep.
But don't get me started on the Mondaire Jones thing. What else?
I mean, 10 is kind of nuts. Or no, 11. Anna Paulina Luna. I mean, okay, no problem. I saw it on Twitter, same clip. I'll find it for you.
All right. Well, should we do this? I mean, this is sort of crazy. I mean, if you, imagine for a moment, first off, like, I'm old enough where I remember Michelle Obama suggesting people eat, that we have provide healthier food for kids in schools. Fascist. And the right went nuts. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like a, not just a month long story, like literally years long story about how Michelle Obama was forcing our kids to eat broccoli. Do
you,
or something.
For people that are maybe weren't paying attention to politics at that time, if you were paying attention a few years ago, or maybe a year or two, remember the gas stove wars? That was very much like the same construction of the argument about, like, they're trying, and actually had less substance because it was like Michelle Obama wanting healthy school lunches, and the gas stove thing was actually like a problem that needed to be addressed regulatorily.
Gas stoves, yeah, I mean, gas stoves weren't actually happening. She was doing this. She was encouraging healthier food. We had stuff about light bulbs. We had stuff about, but right. This was, you know, you can say like it's inconvenient to have, you know, we should keep incandescent lights, like LEDs are. The light's bad and this and that. And then, of course, you know, the companies that made light bulbs, it took them a year or two to transition. And now we have light bulbs that are just give us the same soft white light or yellow light, if you like. But now they also have the ability to, like, flick with a smart button, and they save a tremendous amount of money. And, I mean, on and on. The idea, if anyone... And I guarantee you, we could just run this test. If the Health and Human Services director made a suggestion that Americans stop eating meat, there would be, I mean...
Well, this isn't saying stop eating meat. This is saying
a different cut. Yes. If somebody like said, organ meat. Stop eating steak.
Right.
And just eat liver. There would be, like, I can't even begin to tell you what would happen, but here is Robert Kennedy Jr. saying that very thing.
And this is true all over the country. There's a lot of good food in grocery stores that goes away. Most of the cheap cuts of meat are very inexpensive. If you buy a porterhouse steak or a strip of steak, it is gonna set you back. You can buy liver or the cheaper cuts of steak that are very, very affordable.
There you go. Nothing like,
yes,
a rich
you
guy.
Can. Oh, really? Oh, thanks for telling us.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize.
The affordability crisis.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, next sentence is, what is he going to say? You can save some money if you just go scrounge around for roadkill like I do and eat it like that.
Yeah, what livers is he talking about?
Yeah, right.
Raccoon liver is very cheap.
Extremely cheap.
Pretty much free. All you need is a knife.
Yeah.
They keep sending out, like, Kennedy and Dr. Oz to basically tell poor people, like, you can downsize even more. You don't even realize it.
Yeah. There's protein in fingernails.
A lot of people say you shouldn't eat your boogers. But it's also like a really good source of protein.
We are two steps away from that.
Yes.
I mean, make America healthy again by making the right choices that this out-of-touch rich psycho tells you to do.
Go. Nothing like a Kennedy telling you to get cheap meat.
Nothing like the federal government lecturing you about which kind of meat you should get at the grocery store. I hope the kids like liver.
Yeah.
Luke from New Mexico. I'm back in the race. New Mexico House District 60. Great. I hope you're organizing on the Discord. Ad hominem. Only Israel has a right to defend itself, obviously.
Duh.
Wayward leftists. Slow news today. News day today.
It's kind of just like one big story, but yeah.
Definitely not Cameron. If these dynamics don't become apparent to the administration by Thursday for the War Powers Resolution, then I have a hard time seeing whatever off-ramp the admin is going to have to take. It's the only thing I can think of that would be remotely preferable as an off-ramp. Let's do this. Yeah, this is Representative Anna Paulina Luna.
Tick.
Was on what program
Sorry.
Is this?
Whoa. Came out really weird. Came out really weird. It's on MS Now with Eamon Moladine and the Weeknd's crew. I guess they were able to book her. I'm surprised she said
yes. I was
going
to say, I mean, kudos for her.
Yeah.
Republican going on. She is, what was the ad that she had that was really crazy? I can't remember. She's just very aggressive mm-hmm. in her MAGA-ness. But let's, this is on MSN Now last night, I think.
I didn't say they killed thousands of Americans in America. I said that they have been responsible for thousands of Americans being killed. And
wait,
I think that
where?
That's easily okay, something
pause
that
it. Now,
you can
now this
verify.
Is a line that we've heard, Mark Wayne Mullen say, we heard Hegseth say this. They're trying to figure out the justification for, the war, and they don't have any talking points because already the CIA is coming out and saying, like, well, they didn't really have any plan to attack us. We're finding out that they had already agreed to stop stockpiling any type of enriched uranium. So now it has to be after 47 years of killing so many Americans, which people are like, wait, what? We're going to, like, in 1982, Iranian proxies bombed
the Marine barracks
in Lebanon. And so we're choosing now to attack Iran. Like, there's been no inciting event. And so there's nothing for them to talk about. And they can't even answer the simplest of questions.
Okay.
I didn't say they killed thousands of Americans in America. I said that they have been responsible for thousands of Americans being killed. And I think that
where?
That's easily
where?
Something that you can verify. I don't know, state-sponsored terrorism for starters. Why don't you, are you serious right now about that whole thing? I'm not going to list out
specific locations.
They've literally been responsible
for
sponsored terrorism.
Are you talking about the Iraq
war
where the U.S. invaded?
You can start up by the three that they just killed. Okay, the
in
whole
response,
point of your network is you want
to
actually
war,
talk about the facts,
no,
so I'm giving
no,
you the facts. But I'm not going to sit
like
here
you,
and argue with
you
about something that's commonly accepted
and known. It seems like you actually don't have a good understanding of the facts, Congresswoman. You don't have a good understanding of the conflict.
Well,
I'm the one
that's getting the briefings, not you. You're
because,
a pundit offering your opinion because you want
clickbait,
but
not at all.
Actually
I've
interested
actually,
in the substance.
No, no, not at all.
We can talk about the fact that Obama sent millions upon millions of dollars to the Iranian regime, or do you not want to address that because it's not supported by your opinion and your network?
Pause it for a second. We didn't send billions of dollars to the Iranian regime. We unfroze their assets. It
yes.
was their money, and we had stolen it, and essentially were holding it hostage, and we released it. Now, you could argue, like, why didn't we steal all of their money at all time? And I suppose we could live in a world where people are allowed to steal other people's money when they have an argument with them.
Or you could just call it the art of the deal, sweetie, because the reality is that the Iranians needed something in exchange for their agreement to denuclearize and have a third-party monitor come in and make sure that they were not building a nuclear weapon. And what they got was, we won't hold on to the money we've stolen from you anymore. But apparently this is a major concession.
Or do you not want to address that because it's not supported by your opinion and your network?
No, not at all.
Is this really even something that we're going to actually get to substance here?
It seems like you just want to filibuster. It seems like you don't really want to have a good faith conversation.
Or you just don't like what I'm saying.
We would have invited you on the air.
This happens every time I'm on with you.
Yeah, you keep coming on every time, and you keep stating a lot of things that are incorrect. The United States launched an attack on Iran.
About it, except for you.
The United States launched a war against Iran right now. Iran retaliated, in which American members.
It was targeted military strikes.
You can call it whatever you want to call it, but at the end of the day, the Iranians responded and killed three American service members. So what we're trying to get at is you make an assertion on this air that it's not an invasion when America sends fighter jets and Israel sent fighter jets into another country.
Boots on the ground are not going to happen. Congress will not vote on war with Iran because that is not something that we support, and that is not something that the administration supports.
That's actually what the Constitution,
but if you
the
want
Constitution
to talk about
says that what, in Article 1, but I guess you think Article 2 is more important.
Article
so it's up
2
to you.
Is when the U.S. citizens and our military are in direct imminent threat, the president reserves the authority.
Yeah, well, he hasn't made that case to the American public or Congress,
exactly,
and that's the problem,
doing.
And that's why he's
well,
supposed
he's
to go to Congress.
Well, he's not going to give you classified intelligence
he's
information.
He's not supposed to give it to me. He's supposed to give it to members of Congress.
Possible.
He's supposed to go give it to members of Congress.
What
that's exactly
that
why members
gone
of
Congress.
You're only one. There are 435 members and 100 senators, and others have not
there
gotten it. You're not the only one who gets to speak on behalf of the American people.
Prior to the strike.
Anyway,
there
unfortunately, we're out of time,
there was actually
but
a briefing
really appreciate
with
you coming
there
on.
There you go. You don't want to hear the facts. They got a briefing.
It's
they
not
notified.
A fact. I'm telling you what other members of Congress have said, and that's the whole point of them being
Congress
able to
notified.
Have a debate in Congress.
Congress was notified.
That's not
Congress
what members of Congress
notified.
Say, but really appreciate you coming on here and saying something different. Congresswoman
Ooh,
Anna Paulina Luna. Really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
This is so the argument is there's a secret attack on America that has been taking place, and it's secret. It's so secret that the president can't say anything about it.
Thousands of people have died, but we've kept it. Shh, shh, shh.
But, you know, I mean, honestly, all of those kids that got so radicalized on TikTok for Palestinian rights, they might as well be dead anyway. I mean, they're dead in terms of like the eyes of usefulness for Zionism.
Iran. So. Has been developing cholesterol, bad cholesterol, that has been killing Americans with heart disease.
New COVID theory.
Exactly. Oh. Ooh.
Iran.
They're not doing a very good job of selling this war. It really, honestly, and like, you can tell who they're sending out too, right? Like, who they're sending out is the sort of the looniest of the loonies.
The Expendables.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I do I think it's
send Anna Paulina Luna to do it. She'll do it.
Tick. Got that. But I mean, I think it's indicative of they don't the reason that they're trying to say it's not a war and she says it's not an invasion is because that's the thing that they're the only thing that they're sensitive to is public opinion. They think that they can get away with this action like they did in Venezuela if American troops are not involved and it's not a boots on the ground situation. That when they said anti-war, this is what we talked about all the time with why these like Christian nationalists like Tucker Carlson are not allies in the fight against to liberate Palestine and against Zionism is because like they don't actually have a principle against bombing people in foreign countries. They'll just say that they'll just say essentially that they're against war, but they'll use like bombing and weaponry to kill a bunch of Iranians and kill the Ayatollah as long as it doesn't affect them. They think it doesn't affect them politically. Sorry, I got distracted. I didn't get to read this yet, but apparently, no, I just wanted to flag it. Apparently there is a new New York Times extensive piece with like six different authors that talks about how Benjamin Netanyahu was very successful in lobbying Trump just
very
a few
worried
weeks
that
ago.
Diplomacy was going to work.
Yep. And so and how much he's behind this decision.
5 IMs and we're out of here. Jackie C. Melania Trump speaks to the UN Security Council on Education of Children, U.S. President of Security Council this month. Irony that husband bombs an Iranian school. New Jersey mailman, I just want to point out that we had reports of jets being shot down and our drone defenses are actually really bad in terms of interception. We're using expensive Patriot anti-air systems. This failure highlights how the U.S. has learned nothing from drone warfare in Ukraine and how inept this planning is. If this continues to escalate, more troops will be put in the tight situations as Trump and Netanyahu hang out in Florida. Terry, will you guys have on candidates Schlossberg or Conway on having a hard time deciding in this district?
definitely not either of those.
I mean, here's the thing. We're trying to promote candidates who are going to who are more progressive than who are more in the sort of Justice Dems, DSA orbit, so that not only, you know, will they win in their district, but they will move the Congress to the left with the limited resources we have in terms of time and whatnot. That's basically what we're trying to do.
I'm that is not either. Maybe that's a joke because both of those candidates are so awful. It's got to be because there's other candidates in that district that are much better, including, I believe, Michael Lasher.
Tomrick, thanks so much for having Alexis on and asking about blocking bombs, knowing where she stands on these issues now. I'll be signing up to organize. Honestly, I remember the work that she did at that time. We would often be on like Hayes' show together, during that era. I interviewed her a couple of times back in the day. Just so impressive, so smart, and not just right on the rhetoric, but like knew how to get from A to B.
Mm-hmm.
Really impressive. Be a huge upgrade. Kyle, maybe he meant we didn't start the war. Israel did. Fair. Talking bingo dango. Man, Cuban and Iranian expats are some of the most bloodthirsty psychopaths I've ever seen. Cognitive medbed. Dave has called Pakistani Arabs in the past, too. Why do you think he says we're the hottest country? And the final I am of the day. Congressional baseball fan. I'm only an economist, but aren't 401ks historically known as managed investments because someone else does the decision making with your invested money so that you don't have to be a financial expert and manage your stock portfolio daily? How can there be a tape of Emma at a concert as a teenager, but we haven't anyone find at least one grainy VHS tape of Sam performing stand-up at the Kowloon in like 89 or 90? Release the Saugus tapes. Yeah, Funny enough, I went to the Kowloon about that time frame too, but I was like 7. So the only thing I remember was nearly destroying an entire poo-poo platter on my own. Wow. Matt, in absentia, Brian, Emma, great job today, folks. See you tomorrow.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the lie bar. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in. And my pilot light's shining bright. I guess I'm where the choice is made. Option where you don't get paid for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess somehow I lost my drive between the 101 and the 5. Do you know how far the detour takes you? Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in. My pilot light shining bright.
Interviewing this guy. Like, there's not even, you can't even, like, pretend. Like, there's no, like, you can't even pretend that this is real. It's absurd.
Yeah, I mean, but they're appealing to a core constituency of viewers that is still the most pro-Israel or, you know, more sympathetic to arguments like this, which is basically if you're older than 65. and like anybody that is already dragging down public opinion about this war isn't really watching as much. But like,
except they've been around for 47 years.
I know.
As this like war that we've been engaged in with Iran. And they're like, wait, what?
Well, Matt Duss made this point. By this definition of war, Pearl Harbor was not considered an act of war by the Japanese.
That. The Japanese should have been like, what do you mean we're at war? We just needed to deal with a threat.
It was just a targeted
strike.
A couple
of boats, never mind the leader of your country.
Why are you acting so messed up? We're just, you know, doing police stuff.
I mean, listen to targeted strike versus Iran attack. Notice some of these ways that in language is used in the Western press to communicate this kind of thing. Because by any objective standard of war and war crimes, the United States has committed an egregious, offensive, illegal act of war, killing schoolgirls, and we don't even have the final numbers there, in Iran. And the expectation from our press is like, how dare they respond? How dare they have anything to say about this? It's absolutely insane. Because the problem is that an act of war and wartime has an actual definition here legally in the United States. And if they concede that this is an act of war that they engaged in without consulting Congress, then there's going to be some procedural issues for them. But maybe not, because there are way too many Democrats that seem to be okay with this.
Sort of want to take calls, but I can't. I can't get in there. Oh, well, let's do this one, I guess.
Yeah. How about we open our minds up and hear some alternative opinions?
Yes, we can sit in our own little bubble, and with 79% of the rest of the country,
right?
And we can sit in our bubble and be like, "This doesn't make any sense."
I'm going to start calling the U.S. Greater Brooklyn,
and we should also exactly, and we should also note that like. I don't think there has been any type of absorption from what this foreign minister from Oman is saying, that the Iranians were already willing to go further than they have in any other agreement to avoid getting a nuclear weapon. I mean, it just shows what a lie all of this is. I imagine more and more people will absorb that as this goes on. It's quite possible that Donald Trump does the same thing he did with Venezuela, where kills the leader of the of Iran, and then nothing really changes. From there, I imagine things would get more repressive in Iran, but they don't really care about the people there. But let's get a different perspective, because it's easy to get so close-minded. Nobody else in our space, in the YouTube world, or like
Tim Pool online, and Steven Crowder both have their fill-ins.
Well, Tim Pool, I know for a fact, is against war, so I'm sure he's going to come out strong against this.
That's a harder question.
But here is Dave Rubin trying to shed some light on this.
Barack Obama, I think it was 2012, 2013, they had a massive uprising, and Obama did absolutely nothing. Here, him, the progressive hero, did nothing for the women and the people who just yearned to be free from the Iranian oppression.
Can you pause it? We just killed maybe 100 plus girls to liberate them. All right, keep going.
That's how we have to liberate
in Iran, bombing a school.
Here's a quick video or a quick image. Actually, this is Trump and the team monitoring the U.S.-Israeli attack on Iran on Sunday.
Oh, he looks amazing.
It's just serious stuff. This is not.
Zoom out. Zoom out.
Yeah, this is serious stuff.
I mean, this is really serious. That's why you can tell he's so oily, because he's really sweating this
situation.
That's
why Jack Posobiec's in the background.
Oh, God, that hat must be holding all of that skin together. If you just take it off, he just melts.
Oh, look at how secure the Situation Room is. They've got a curtain to block it off from the rest of the... You understand, this is in a country club, like a conference dining room area.
YMCA's
that they have
pumping
like
through the curtain.
They have put a curtain there so that they don't,
for privacy.
You don't see like the wet bar that's right behind there for the,
like if I go to the Gap and try on clothes and there's like a little lock in a stall that has more security than this makeshift situation room at Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, sorry. I accidentally walked into the teleconference in sales, the sales teleconference.
Give me a hat because I'm having a bad hair day. This is the weirdest part.
Contour looks good, though.
This is serious stuff. You guys, okay.
Actually, this is Trump and the team monitoring the U.S.-Israeli attack on Iran on Sunday. And you can see it's just serious stuff. This is not this. They are not playing around. Interestingly, a lot of people are asking where J.D. Vance was. He was not in the room at the time. Here is Trump. Also, it sounds like, can we confirm, is it confirmed that the Israeli strike killed Khamenei? Do we know that for sure? I think that's what happened here. But we'll find out more. But this is a fully coordinated strike, and Iran is now lashing out all over the entire Middle East. I think they've hit 11 Arab countries. If you want to see who the bad guys are, they're being hit by America and Israel, and they're lashing out at their supposed Arab friends, right? Their supposed Muslim friends. Here's Trump announcing.
Pause it for a second. Aside from the obvious sophistication it shows about understanding of the relations in that region, mm-hmm. First of all, first he said they're Arab friends.
Right. Yeah.
We should tell you that Iranians are Persians. They are not Arabs.
Learning this in middle school.
Yes. I'm sure you also learned it in middle school because of the Iraq War that there are Shia Muslims and Sunni Muslims.
Mm.
They love each other.
And they have some disagreements at various times. Also, the places that Iran has hit are U.S. bases, which might have something to do with why they hit there.
Venezuela sent a missile to Guantanamo Bay, would you be like, they're lobbing missiles at their Spanish
friends? Oh, they love Cuba, but they're willing to bomb Guantanamo.
Well, that's the weird thing is that, well, he says Arabs, but he means Muslim people more broadly.
It's Muslim like, on Muslim violence.
Right, right. So who are the good guys here? Is it the Americans that bombed the Muslim people in Iran? No, but it's the Iranians who responded, and then also that makes them bad. But when we bomb Muslims, it's good.
Okay. They should have trained other fire on Israel, then I would have no problem.
I guess the
it's
only
brown on brown violence,
right? Right,
we don't like that.
Right, right. He just wants. He thinks that there's not enough Muslim solidarity, and that's what makes them bad.
Let's skip a little bit ahead here. Here's him talking about the Hegseth speech. Here he is. He's got a different perspective than ours on that.
Oh really? No way!
Yeah.
But it was more that as a TV personality, he knows how to communicate. He looks the part. He says things clearly. And I just thought this, there was a great speech this morning, but here's just one quick highlight.
Turns out the regime who chanted death to America and death to Israel was gifted death from America and death from Israel. This is not a so-called regime change war, but the regime sure did change. And the world is better off for it.
Yeah. So let me address the regime change thing one more time. When we went into Iraq, we wanted regime change. Saddam Hussein and the people of Iraq were the same people, right? So we took Saddam out. And by the way, had Obama maybe not pulled out as early as he did, things were getting better in Iraq. But that's a little bit of a sidebar. Right now, it was largely Arab Muslim people who were being oppressed by an Arab Muslim leader in Iraq. Iran is very different because these are largely Persian people, which is a completely different culture than the radical Islamist leaders, Khomeini and the mullahs, that they were living under. So these people are ready to take their country back. We've shown you videos of what Iran looked like pre-1979, pre-Islamic revolution. Here, I'm going to show you two quick videos here of Iranians now dancing.
You've all seen this before.
Okay, great. Now they're dancing. Here we go.
It is impressive that he, I guess he was trying to argue that there was nothing for Iraq to return to, but there is from Iran. I mean, without a doubt, there is. I mean, a lot of people were very oppressed by Saddam Hussein.
I know, yeah. Iraq had a functioning society that I could look back on, too, before it all went downhill.
The weird part is that Saddam Hussein was actually more of a secularist in the first place relative to his or at least some of his population. I do think that there is a significant percentage of Iranians who don't want to live under a theocracy. I don't know if it's 60% or 40% or some iteration of that. But it's not like the Iranian revolution just sort of like dropped out of the sky and there was no basis for it. We're the ones, to be fair, also the British, but the CIA and the MI6 were the ones who got rid of Iran's democracy or democratically elected prime minister in 1953 in a coup, basically because the Iranians were rude enough to have their country exist on British Petroleum's oil.
Yeah, you want more than 16%? Please.
And you're not supposed to have your national resources for your nation. That's absurd. And then we brought in an existing reinforced an existing lineage of monarchy dictator that existed, that went from like more of like a, you know, it would be almost as if we overthrew Keir Starmer and then just had Prince Charles be the dictator. Would be the so there is definitely like some impetus for a, but he doesn't seem
to shattered your brain.
He really did.
You're trying to
like I just like just so much stupid around that you can't really just refute one thing. It's almost like you have to refute the right of Dave Rubin to talk.
Yes,
almost, like,
of course the censorious left once again.
But Dan from New London, whenever I hear the Hegseth clip, I think it has to be some SNL slam poetry parody skit. Todd from Raleigh, he's saying the Iranian people are Persians, so they are good, and the Iranian regime is bad, so they're Arab. It's incoherent. I mean, honestly, it really is. California resistance, Sam, the diaspora in other countries is not indicative of what is happening in Iran. I would imagine.
Definitely. Doesn't mean that there isn't, that the Iranian regime isn't immensely repressive, that there isn't a popular movement to replace them. It's just that the idea that that is what the Americans and the Israelis are interested in for the good of the Iranian people is hilarious. It's hilarious. And also in Iran, there is a cultural and historical memory of that, what you're talking about there, that makes it even more difficult, I think, to impose a puppet government on a population because they've been through it before with the brutality of the Shah.
Yeah. And I think, look, a diaspora is always, I mean, it's largely, not totally, self-selecting. And it's almost definitional that they have a problem with any regime, which is, again, not a way of saying that it's good. I mean, we, you know, a lot of people have left the United States. A lot of Americans have left the United States because of Donald Trump.
But it's much more actively like the Iranian and Cuban diaspora in the United States. Like this was also like a national security project to bring in people that were sympathetic to capitalism.
No, yeah, of course. Yeah. And we're kicked out because of their sympathies or escape.
I said Cuba, right?
Yeah. Yep. What else we got here?
Mm-hmm.
protect all frogs. Are we not 5 minutes away from kidnapping Starmer and replacing all government with Trump? Tumbo Flink, happy Monday, folks. Hello, my name is Sir Keir Starmer. Last week, my party was humiliated in a by-election in what has been one of our safest seats, so I've decided to put British soldiers in harm's way. I know that 2 days ago I said I wouldn't put British soldiers in harm's way, but the fascist pedophile in another country that I'm cravenly loyal to said mean things about me. The good news is this should distract from me appointing a known Epstein associate to Britain's most important diplomatic post, despite him not being vetted prior to his appointment. I often talk about how my dad was a toolmaker. Oh, he was a toolmaker, all right. Colorado Corvus. Denver DSA just endorsed Milot Kiros. You should all reach out.
Hell, we have had her on, and I feel like I'm, of all of these like candidates, I feel like I don't know, I'm so impressed by her. So I want to throw out Milot Kiros' name every time I can. But
she's already been on.
She's already been on. Not sure when the Colorado primary is. Do we know? I mean, not off the top of your head. It's fine.
How crazy would that be?
That would be crazy. That would be insane. But it looks like, where is that? When is that primary now? It's just going to bug me. All right. Well, either way, Milot Kiros, if you are in Denver, in the Denver area, look it up. Look it up.
Is this number 17? Is that what you put up there?
Yeah.
I don't even know how to.
How do you intro this? Honestly,
hold on. Will you also, we'll play this in a second.
Okay.
Will you also look for, apparently there's a huge rash on Trump's neck that's going around?
I have seen that. I can find that.
Okay.
I said at the beginning of the show, after the report that Trump has not been seen really since this weekend, right? I mean, like Saturday night, late. They ran a video that he prepared because he couldn't stay up that late to announce that we were engaged in a non-war war regime change thing. There is a Donald Trump is out there with a huge, disturbing rash on his neck. I mean, it happens.
Ugh. God, it could have been so repulsive, and now we add the rotting, the reports of how he's shitting himself all the time, allegedly, and smells horrible. God, he really is like a festering sore on this planet.
But this is, I mean, I've heard him go off and get loony before, but this is something else.
I have a policeman. I tell the story. Same guy. I meet him. But it's this wonderful, tough policeman from New York. He's taking good care of us. And he said, sir, it's so good. My married life has gotten so much better. Why? My wife thought I was a loser financially. I couldn't make any money because my 401k was dying for years. And now she thinks I'm the smartest financial genius ever. It's made my sex life good. It's made my life good. It's given me a tremendous boost in life, sir. This is a big, tough cop. He said, my wife treated me like a dog, and now she admires my financial genius. And I haven't done anything. My 401k has gone through the roof. So I said, thank you very much.
So he's a new NYPD cop that I'm just trying.
I paid for my wife. So
I relate.
It was all transactional.
I have a policeman.
I have a policeman.
I just want to. Yeah. So I'm in deciphering the weave. I would assume this is a former NYPD person that has joined his security detail. Yeah. I don't know a ton about the NYPD pension system, but they have pensions, not 401ks for the most part, right?
Well,
he could have one on his own.
Well, you know, he could have.
I don't know why. I mean, I'm just.
You don't think this story's true?
I'm just having a hard time.
You don't think his security details tell him about how he's banging his wife
a lot? That his former NYPD security guy who also has a pension and a 401k went up to the president that he works for and said, you know, my 401k is doing really great, and it's made me rock hard. I feel like I'm having a hard time believing this story.
To which Trump replied, thank you very much.
Yes.
You're welcome.
And does he, and you know, I really do, because he's a rapist.
Don't you understand? I don't have the energy for Prima Nocte anymore. Right. But as long as I can get it mentally, that's when I'll take it.
And also just like rapists aren't really concerned with, you know, in fact, they're violent towards women and aren't concerned, obviously, with their pleasure. But it is just somebody who was born with such a silver spoon in his mouth, such a rich idiot who's only ever gotten laid because of his money. He totally gets that, like, the idea that the former NYPD guy could be, his wife would be happier because she saw the 401k went up sexually.
How could anybody screw this cop? He's right. Such a loser. Right. He doesn't even have $1 billion.
Or the idea that, like, their sex life could be better based on anything other than the man getting wealthier is just completely foreign to him.
Exactly.
Right. They're indelibly connected, and that's the case for everybody.
I don't even... Connected? They're the same
They're
thing.
They're the same thing.
Saturn Girl. Hi, Sam. Can you encourage your staff to use less foul language during the show? Young ears are listening. I try and model it, but the kids today.
This is a recurring I am.
The kids today.
I'm sorry. Did I say a bad word? I did say rock hard just a second ago.
I just went banging. I tried very hard not to.
Catlack. Guys, did something happening with Uline New? I've been wondering if you were going to have her on. No, she's great. And I can't encourage people enough in New York City to go. She's running for state Senate?
It's a statewide race.
It's
assembly?
Not a statewide race. It's,
assembly. Wait, no, it is a statewide race.
No, it's not.
Or no, I'm sorry. It's a state race.
State race. Yeah. It's a district.
District. Yes.
And so it's.
No, it's tough. I already feel like we're too New York focused. Yeah.
But it's not just a question of being New York. There's a lot of news.
Yes.
We're trying to have like Congress people on in primaries, but I can't encourage people enough to go and support her. Let's put her Act Blue account in the link it in the podcast and YouTube description.
We're trying to go in order of primaries as best as we can.
Yeah, there's a lot of news.
Yeah, I'm not sure people are aware.
And we need time also to have like play stuff on the.
Mm-hmm.
No, but there's a lot of news. But she's great. She's really great. She really actually should be where she should be in Dan Goldman's seat, frankly.
Yep.
But don't get me started on the Mondaire Jones thing. What else?
I mean, 10 is kind of nuts. Or no, 11. Anna Paulina Luna. I mean, this link is okay, no problem. I saw it on Twitter, same clip. I'll find it for you.
All right. Well, should we do this? I mean, this is sort of crazy. I mean, if you imagine for a moment, first off, like I'm old enough where I remember Michelle Obama suggesting people eat that we have provide healthier food for kids in schools.
Fascist.
And the right went nuts. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like not just a month long story, like literally years long story about how Michelle Obama was forcing our kids to eat broccoli something.
For people that weren't paying attention to politics at that time, if you were paying attention a few years ago or maybe a year or two, remember the gas stove wars? That was very much like the same construction of the argument about like they're trying and actually had less substance because it was like Michelle Obama wanting healthy school lunches, and the gas stove thing was actually like a problem that needed to be addressed regulatorily.
Gas stoves, yeah, I mean, gas stoves weren't actually happening. She was doing this. She was encouraging healthier food. We had stuff about light bulbs. We had stuff about, but right. This was, you know, you can say like it's inconvenient to have, you know, we should keep incandescent lights. Like LEDs are, the light's bad and this and that. And then, of course, you know, the companies that made light bulbs, it took them a year or two to transition. And now we have light bulbs that are just give us the same soft white light or yellow light, if you like. But now they also have the ability to like flick with a smart button, and they save a tremendous amount of money. And I mean, on and on. The idea, if anyone, and I guarantee you, we could just run this test. If the Health and Human Services director made a suggestion that Americans stop eating meat, there would be, I mean.
Well, this isn't saying stop eating meat. This is saying
a different cut. Yes. If somebody like said, like, stop eating steak.
Right.
And just eat liver. There would be, like, I can't even begin to tell you what would happen. But here is Robert Kennedy Jr. saying that very thing.
And this is true all over the country. There's a lot of good food in grocery stores that goes away. Most of the cheap cuts of meat are very inexpensive. If you buy a porterhouse steak or a strip of steak, it is gonna set you back. You can buy liver or the cheaper cuts of steak that are very, very affordable.
There you go. Nothing like yes, a rich guy.
Yes, you can. Oh, really? Oh, thanks for telling us.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize.
The affordability crisis.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, next sentence is, what is he going to say? You can save some money if you just go scrounge around for roadkill like I do and eat it like that.
Yeah, what livers is he talking about?
Yeah, right.
Raccoon livers, very cheap.
Extremely cheap.
Pretty much free. All you need is a knife.
Yeah.
They keep sending out like Kennedy and Dr. Oz to basically tell poor people like you can downsize even more. You don't even realize it.
Yeah, there's protein in fingernails.
A lot of people say you shouldn't eat your boogers, but it's also like a really good source of protein.
We are two steps away from that. I mean, make America healthy again by making the right choices that this out-of-touch rich psycho tells you to do.
Go. Nothing like a Kennedy telling right. you to get cheap meat.
Nothing like the federal government lecturing you about which kind of meat you should get at the grocery store. I hope the kids like liver.
Yeah.
Luke from New Mexico. I'm back in the race. New Mexico House District 60. Great. I hope you're organizing on the Discord. Ad hominem. Only Israel has a right to defend itself, obviously.
Duh.
Wayward leftists. Slow news today. Newsday today.
it's kind of just like one big story, but yeah.
Definitely not Cameron. If these dynamics don't become apparent to the administration by Thursday for the War Powers Resolution, then I have a hard time seeing whatever off-ramp the admin is going to have to take. It's the only thing I can think of that would be remotely preferable as an off-ramp. Let's do this. Yeah, this is Representative Anna Paulina Luna.
Tick.
was on... what program
Sorry.
Is this?
Whoa. Came out really weird. Came out really weird. It's on MS Now with Eamon Moladine and the Weeknd's crew. I guess they were able to book her. I'm surprised she said yes.
I was
going
to say, I mean, kudos for her.
Yeah.
Republican going on. She is, what was the ad that she had that was really crazy? I can't remember. She's just very aggressive mm-hmm. in her... MAGA-ness. But let's, this is on MSN now last night, I think.
I didn't say they killed thousands of Americans in America. I said that they have been responsible for thousands of Americans being killed. And wait, I think that where? That's easily
okay,
something
pause it.
That
now,
you can
now, this
verify.
Is a line that we've heard Mark Wayne Mullen say. We heard Hegseth say this. They're trying to figure out the justification for the war, and they don't have any talking points because already the CIA is coming out and saying, like, well, they didn't really have a any plan to attack us. We're finding out that they had already agreed to stop stockpiling any type of enriched uranium. So now it has to be after 47 years of killing so many Americans, which people are like, wait, what? We're going to, like, in 1982, Iranian proxies bombed
the Marine barracks
in Lebanon. And so we're choosing now to attack Iran. Like, there's been no inciting event. And so there's nothing for them to talk about, and they can't even answer the simplest of questions.
Okay.
I didn't say they killed thousands of Americans in America. I said that they have been responsible for thousands of Americans being killed. And I think that
where?
That's easily
where?
Something that you can verify. I don't know, state-sponsored terrorism, for starters. Why don't you, are you serious right now about that whole thing? I'm not going to list out exact locations.
Are you talking about the Iraq
war?
Well,
you can start up by the three that they, you can start up by the three that they just killed. Okay, the
in
whole
response,
point of your network, if you want
to
actually
war,
talk about the facts,
no,
here, I'm giving
no,
you the facts. But I'm not going to sit
like
here
you,
and argue with
you
about something that's commonly accepted
and known. It seems like you actually don't have a good understanding of the facts, Congresswoman. You don't have a good understanding of the
well,
conflict.
Well, I'm the one
you
that's getting the briefings, not
the
you. You're
because...
a pundit offering your opinion because you want
no,
clickbait,
not
but
at
aren't
all.
Actually
I've
interested in the substance.
No, no, not at all.
We can talk about the fact that Obama sent millions upon millions of dollars to the Iranian regime. Or do you not want to address that because it's not supported by your opinion and your network?
Pause it for a second. We didn't send millions of billions of dollars to the Iranian regime. We unfroze their assets. It was their money, and we had stolen it and essentially were holding it hostage, and we released it. Now, you could argue, like, why didn't we steal all of their money at all time? And I suppose we could live in a world where people are allowed to steal other people's money when they have an argument with them.
Or you could just call it the art of the deal, sweetie, because the reality is that the Iranians needed something in exchange for their agreement to denuclearize and have a third party monitor come in and make sure that they were not building a nuclear weapon. And what they got was, we won't hold on to the money we've stolen from you anymore. But apparently this is a major concession.
Or do you not want to address that because it's not supported by your opinion and your network?
No, not
I mean,
at all.
Is this really
to...
even something that we're going to actually get
well, it
to
seems like you just
here?
Want
to, are you going to continue
seems like
to
you just want to No, it seems like you just want to filibuster. It seems like you don't really want to have a good faith conversation.
Or you just don't
you,
like
you
what I'm saying.
No, we would have invited
this
you on the air.
This happens every time I'm on with you.
Yeah, you keep coming on every time, and you keep stating a lot of things that are incorrect.
Because
the United States launched an attack on Iran.
About it, except for you.
The United States launched a war against Iran right now. Iran retaliated, in which American members.
Strikes.
You can call whatever you want to call it, but at the end of the day, the Iranians responded and killed three American service members. So what we're trying to get at is you make an assertion on this air that it's not an invasion when America sends fighter jets and Israel sent fighter jets
boots
into another country.
Boots on the ground are not going to happen. Congress will not vote on war with Iran because that is not something that we support, and that is not something that the administration supports.
That's actually
supports.
What the Constitution,
but if you
the
want
Constitution
to talk
says that
what,
in Article 1, but I guess
talk,
you think Article 2 is more
well,
important.
Article
so it's up
2
to you.
Is when the right. when the U.S. citizens and our military are in direct imminent threat. The president reserves the authority.
Yeah, well, he hasn't made that case to the American public or Congress,
exactly
and that's the problem. And that's why he's supposed to go to Congress.
Well, he's not going to give you classified intelligence
he's
information.
He's not supposed to give it to me. He's supposed to give it to members of
possible.
Congress. He's supposed to go give it to members of Congress.
What
that's exactly
that
why members
gotten
of
Congress.
You're only one. There are 435 members and 100 senators, and others have not gotten it. You're not the only one who gets to speak on behalf of the American people.
Prior to the strike.
Anyway, unfortunately, we're out of time.
There was actually a briefing.
Really appreciate you coming on.
There you go. You don't want to hear the facts. They got a briefing.
It's not a fact. I'm telling you what other members of Congress have said, and that's the whole point of them being able to have a debate in Congress.
Congress was notified.
That's not what members of Congress say, but really appreciate you coming on here and saying something different. Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna. Really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
This is so the argument is there's a secret attack on America that has been taking place, and it's secret. It's so secret that the president can't say anything about it.
Thousands of people have died, but we've kept it.
But, you know, I mean, honestly, all of those kids that got so radicalized on TikTok for Palestinian rights, they might as well be dead anyway. I mean, they're dead in terms of like the eyes of usefulness for Zionism.
Iran has been developing cholesterol, bad cholesterol, that has been killing Americans with heart disease.
New COVID theory.
Exactly. Oh, ooh.
Iran.
They're not doing a very good job of selling this war. It really, honestly, and like you can tell who they're sending out too, right? Like who they're sending out is the sort of the looniest of the loonies.
The Expendables.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I do, I think it's
send Ana Paulina Luna to do it. She'll do it.
Tick. Got that. But I mean, I think it's indicative of the reason that they're trying to say it's not a war and she says it's not an invasion is because that's the thing that they're the only thing that they're sensitive to is public opinion. They think that they can get away with this action like they did in Venezuela if American troops are not involved and it's not a boots on the ground situation. That when they said anti-war, this is what we talked about all the time with why these like Christian nationalists like Tucker Carlson are not allies in the fight against to liberate Palestine and against Zionism is because like they don't actually have a principle against bombing people in foreign countries. They'll just say that they'll just say essentially that they're against war, but they'll use like bombing and weaponry to kill a bunch of Iranians and kill the Ayatollah as long as it doesn't affect them. They think it doesn't affect them politically. Sorry, I got distracted. I didn't get to read this yet, but apparently, no, I just wanted to flag it. Apparently, there is a new New York Times extensive piece with like six different authors that talks about how Benjamin Netanyahu was very successful in lobbying Trump just
very
a few
worried
weeks
that
ago.
Diplomacy was going to work.
Yep. And so, and how much he's behind this decision.
5 IMs and we're out of here. Jackie C. Melania Trump speaks to the UN Security Council on Education of Children, U.S. President of Security Council this month. Irony that husband bombs an Iranian school. New Jersey mailman, I just want to point out that we had reports of jets being shot down, and our drone defenses are actually really bad in terms of interception. We're using expensive Patriot anti-air systems. This failure highlights how the U.S. has learned nothing from drone warfare in Ukraine, and how inept this planning is. If this continues to escalate, more troops will be put in the tight situations as Trump and Netanyahu hang out in Florida. Terry. Will you guys have on candidates Schlossberg or Conway on having a hard time deciding in this district?
definitely not either of those.
I mean, here's the thing. We're trying to promote candidates who are going to who are more progressive than who are more in the sort of Justice Dems DSA orbit so that not only, you know, will they win in their district, but they will move the Congress to the left with the limited resources we have in terms of time and whatnot. That's basically what we're trying to do.
I'm that is not either. Maybe that's a joke because both of those candidates are so awful. It's got to be because there's other candidates in that district that are much better, including, I believe, Michael Lasher.
Tomrick, thanks so much for having Alexis on and asking about blocking bombs, knowing where she stands on these issues now. I'll be signing up to organize. Honestly, like, I remember the work that she did at that time. We would often be on, like, Hayes' show together, you know, during that era. I interviewed her a couple of times back in the day. Just so impressive, so smart, and not just right on the rhetoric, but, like, knew how to get from A to B.
Mm-hmm.
Really impressive. Be a huge upgrade. Kyle, maybe he meant we didn't start the war. Israel did. Fair. Talking bingo dango. Man, Cuban and Iranian expats are some of the most bloodthirsty psychopaths I've ever seen. Cognitive medbed. Dave has called Pakistani Arabs in the past, too. Why do you think he says we're the hottest country? And the final I am of the day. Congressional baseball fan. I'm only an economist, but aren't 401ks historically known as managed investments because someone else does the decision making with your invested money so that you don't have to be a financial expert and manage your stock portfolio daily? How can there be a tape of Emma at a concert as a teenager, but we haven't anyone find at least one grainy VHS tape of Sam performing stand-up at the Kowloon in like 89 or 90. Release the Saugus tapes. Yeah, Funny enough, I went to the Kowloon about that time frame too, but I was like 7. So the only thing I remember was nearly destroying an entire poo-poo platter on my own. Wow. Matt in absentia, Brian, Emma, great job today, folks. See you tomorrow.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want. But I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better.